This week on RSBNB Update, we recap Mental Health Awareness Week and catch up on the year's charitable work. Plus, we check in with Tanis on archaeology, 120 farming, and 120 herbivore. Also, we look at most, if not all, of the 2018 survey results. This is RSBNB Update, episode 746, recorded Thursday, October 10th, 2019. Introducing Maud Sirion. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week is, of course, the RuneFest after week, and boy, I'm still getting over the announcements from RuneFest. But Tanis, you're going to have your first chance to sound off on the various things shortly.
Okay. You hear the, like, just exhaustion?
Yeah.
Just the emotional...
Yeah.
Exhaustion.
You have no excuse to be exhausted. I think I'm the only excuse to be exhausted.
Well, you do, but I feel like my feelings have been played with.
Well, we'll get to that after. We'll get to that. We of course also have Sirion back because there's more RuneFest this week to talk about. In particular, results from the survey and little other bits and bobs throughout the RuneFest adventure that we had. So.
That was a lot of it. I don't think I've processed all of it entirely yet myself, to be honest.
It's probably because they saved up 3 years of announcements for one RuneFest. Like, where was this stuff the last couple of years? Like, holy cow, guys.
Yeah.
It is hot. Like,
if you actually visit RuneFest, you know, there's more than just announcements. There's just so much interaction and experiences that you go to. It really takes a while to sink in, I think.
I'd be interested to hear from listeners if they prefer the coverage this year or the coverage from last year. Because this year's was better to produce because I could focus on primarily the announcements, whereas last year's was more a general experience. We didn't get to do the announcements, although there are so few of them, until the week after. I'd be interested in hearing.
I had a lot of fun producing the episode on a mobile phone in my living room.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
On a sofa.
I was more concerned about the audio quality, to be honest. Though, if there's a next time, we'll fix that.
We'll fix that?
Yeah.
How? You're going to take your whole setup and carry on?
No. I do have a backup setup from years ago that would work that is conducive to room recording like that, but I have many microphone setups. But anyways, not to say that there's, you know, a huge exhaustive list of them. There's only really one before this one, and before that it was headsets. And, you know, if anybody, of course, wants to hear about that, question time if you ever want to send one in. But Mental Health Awareness Week, you know, we were saying that maybe we should have had a quiet update week before getting into the meat of the matter at the end of the month. And lo and behold, we are given a quiet week this week with Mental Health Awareness Week. You know, I think we just have to recap at this point the huge amount of work that was done by the community over the course of the last year. £153,000 raised, split three ways to the different charities, of course, Princess Trust, CPSL Mind, and URAD. And they brought out big checks like that on the stage at the RuneFest opening ceremonies, which was really nice.
They also had, just like last year, like a special side room where the charities were sort of having a stand.
Good.
Yeah, except for people don't go to these stands. Like, that's not why they come to RuneFest. Yeah. So, you know, I get it. You won't want to put them on the main floor either, but I felt a bit quiet.
And the day before RuneFest, when the night before was happening, they had a charity lunch or a charity picnic from the sounds of it. Special effect. Tanis, you'll be very pleased about this. Raised £5,000 in one day.
Oh, that's amazing.
So,
It took a while for the auction. I was there and I didn't think the auction was super well organized. Like, there was no mic and all that stuff. So it took a while to set up, to kick off. But, you know, there were some really interesting auction bidding battles there to watch. Was quite fun to see.
And, you know, everybody always says, let's do more for charity. And I don't think you get any bigger than charity than doing stuff like that at RuneFest. And, you know, you and I were talking, I think it was in the pre-show before the RuneFest special, that we said, you know, wouldn't it have been interesting if there was an actual silent auction kind of thing at the night before with the Golden Gnomes going on. And then at the end of the night, we see how much money that raised, how much money the one special day in RuneScape raised. And, you know, that's just really fun to think about what is possible with all these charity things and what everybody in the community has done. You know, 1.3 million pounds, I think it was, since 2013.
Yeah, that's the number that stood out to me. I was like, wow. They've raised over a million.
Over a million, yeah. Just over a million.
That's crazy. That's significant money. Especially for like special effect, like it's not a huge charity for the good that it does. Like its effect far outreaches like its size, you know, and that's significant money for them. Like,
and if you don't look into, you know, gaming or accessible gaming, you likely don't even know what special effect is. And they deserve far more recognition than they get. Because, you know, when people think of charity, they think like the Heart Association or, I don't know, something else to that effect, something that everybody thinks of, or the local food banks maybe. But on the other hand, special effect is something that is so tailored towards the gaming world that those of us who play games without any inhibition, we don't really appreciate what special effect does. But when you look at what special effect does for just individuals that require specialized equipment, it really puts everything in perspective.
Well, yeah, I mean, 100%. And their expertise has paved the way for many other technologies. I mean, they've helped with the development of the accessible controller for, big companies like Microsoft. And they've also developed their own eye tracking technology, and it's amazing that we have been able to in some small part contribute to that and be a part of that. And I think it's wonderful.
Indeed.
It's one of the things that makes RuneScape different.
Exactly. And, you know, mental health awareness week, you get the tokens in game. You unlock the Brain Plushie at 5,000 and the Defender of the Mind Wings at 10,000 tokens. But what's actually different about this event compared to past charitable events is that if you go in to the event UI, you of course have the usual options to purchase the currency packs for rune coins, but, and this is really neat, if you go into the charitable giving tab of the event, you can purchase all of the past charitable event cosmetic overrides directly for rune coins if you missed out on them, and that money goes directly to the charities.
That's awesome. And the like Defender of the Mind and those kind of outfits, so there's a couple of them. They're actually pretty decent looking outfits.
So, I mean, I think if anybody has bonds kicking around, this would be definitely something you'd want to pick up and do. Or, I mean, even if you want to throw some rune coins at it, it's a really worthy cause. And it's only running for a week, which is kind of unfortunate. I wish it would be running for longer. But I think when you look at everything that has been done and everything that will be done in the future, putting this kind of lens on it truly does, you know, mean great things for RuneScape and Jagex. So it's a good event and a good thing to focus. And I think, in my opinion, that is definitely worthy of taking up the slot of one of the week's updates. So.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you said we had a quiet week, but it didn't feel that way to me. Like, it really just didn't feel that way. But I think a lot of it was, Saturday I was doing family stuff. And so I listened to the podcast when it came out with you and Sirion, wishing I had been here. But then I also watched the keynote and just the different sections that they put out on YouTube all through the week. So I was getting like, I was watching a video every day, you know, kind of keeping things fresh and stuff like that.
Whereas us, on the other hand, I watch most of it all live. And I know, Sirion, you were there, and it's obviously an entirely different experience being there. And I mean, I felt like I was there this year. That might be because it's in the exact same venue this year. But obviously, you know, you can't replace the interactions and the like. So
could be. For me, it felt very different from last year.
Okay.
There were different people there as well. We were with, of course. The setup was different as well.
Yeah.
There was less queuing involved.
Oh, thank God.
But yeah, I think there was a lot of good stuff happening. And I agree with Hannes, like, it didn't feel like a quiet week. Mostly because I have been sort of trying to catch up with all the stuff I experienced.
Yeah.
And also battling my low-key rune flu that is pretty much mandatory after RuneFest weekends.
Whee! All right, you guys ready for some patch notes?
I am.
Yep, let's get to it.
All right, this is a good one for you, Tannis, to start off with. A colorblind mode has been added for when fighting Talos.
Dude. When I heard this, I was like, holy cow, I wish we need this for all of them. Like, that's the patch note of the week, or the year, for me. Like, doesn't mean I'm going to go be able to do Talos, but at least I'd have a chance now. Because I could never tell those, you know, those lines that go through there. I can't tell the colors or anything. So, awesome. Good job, guys. Appreciate it.
The Bank of Gielinor has updated its title on the Bankfin entry interface to match the main interface. It used to say Bank of RuneScape. Quest-wise, the Father and Son and the Helping Lanakea mini quests have been converted into mini quests and have, as such, been added to the completion escape as a requirement. And of course, this is just the Anachronia grace period falling through. 3 months since Anachronia was released.
What about the master quest?
Which master quest?
The master quest cape. Like, that's still there, right? I mean, we still have that. Doesn't it require all the mini quests?
I think so.
It should. And I think I remember seeing people in Clan Quest this week say they... No, would they have lost? No, they would have all had it done beforehand, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
so which one is the Father and Son one again?
I don't know. I didn't do that one.
Doesn't ring a bell.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, we'll be able to go into the mini quest list and fish it out. Because that's a thing, right?
It is a mini quest involving Erwinson and Sigli the Huntsman in Vileka.
Interesting.
It gives you a bow.
So is this just a mini quest? The first one, at least, is this just a mini quest that was floating around in the background and was forgotten about?
Oh, you talk to someone in Anachronia, and then you talk to someone in Vileka, and you get a bow. That's it.
Oh. Okay. So it's a
You get a bow, and you bring the bow back. It's literally a fetch quest.
Okay, so it's a very simple little requirement.
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess I didn't go through.
It even has a quick guide. Which has three steps.
All the dialogues on Erwinson, right? You said it was Erwinson?
Yeah, Erwinson on Anachronia, then Sigli the Huntsman in Vileka, then back to Erwinson on Anachronia. That's it. Takes you like 2 minutes to do.
Fair enough. Mobile-wise, long pressing on the prayer globe on mobile now populates the menu with all of the saved presets, prayer saved presets. Numeric values have been added to the health and adrenaline bars on mobile.
Yeah, they're now always visible as well. I'm not sure what I think of that.
Well, they're always visible on desktop.
Yeah, but you have way more view estate on your screen.
Yeah, and you know, I think they were hoping that just the bars would have been enough. But they heard from players that they needed the numbers because people need to know exactly when they're in threshold territory.
I think they should get rid of the numbers when you're not in combat mode, but keep the numbers in combat mode.
Okay, that makes sense. But I right, because you choose to be in combat mode on mobile, right? You got to toggle
that
on.
Yeah, that's a big button.
Okay.
And if you disable it, all your ability buttons are disabled. Right. Gone as well.
And if you attack something, I assume it puts you into combat mode automatically.
I have not done combat on mobile.
All right, fair enough. Updated the worn equipment item layout on mobile to resemble the desktop layout. And, of course, that's the person-type layout with the head, chest.
The layout kind of was the one that happens if you make the screen really small and it just puts everything in a row, which is useless.
Not intuitive at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fix the stack timer on the Telos virus debuffs that appear in Phase 5, the green, black, and red phase, and the adrenaline gain reduced debuff in Dominion Towers. Updated the buff bar timer to have the full minutes display. There's some weird font issues with that earlier in the week, but that's been fixed, so it looks how it always used to look. You can see all the numbers. And it's actually readable again.
Yay.
Because I found it really blurry before this update came in. I don't know about you guys. But
I don't really use the buff bar that much, so.
Okay.
I mean, I do, but I haven't been doing much in the way of combat.
Well, I was
basically telling me how many porters I have.
I was noticing it for the Juju farming potions.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They have removed the additional prayer buffs when a combat boosting prayer is active or curse that is active that provided benefits of other prayers. These include the tier 95 and 99 curse prayers, and the detailed benefits can now be found in the active prayer interface. So what was happening on the buff bar, it would say how much your strength and attack values would be increased on the buff bar as well as in the active prayer interface. I feel like you could have went either way on this one, but I think the change they made was good for cleanup and just, you know, pushing all these kind of general buffs to the new active prayer interface.
Yep.
So, more information is now provided to the user on the buff icon for prayer renewal and super prayer renewal potions. Improvements have been made to the Celtic knot puzzles for usability. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to do a clue scroll with a knot yet this week, so I don't know exactly what this entails. If anything, I'm betting it's something to do with the way it was flipped, because I always found that flip command really annoying on the knots. So
perhaps. Your word for it.
I hope it broke Alt 1.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I mean, we shouldn't be chuckling evilly like that, but I mean, it's a Celtic knot solver. You use a bit of brain power, you brute force it. They really don't take that long once you figure them out. So I completely agree with you on that. Destroying Silverhawk boots now displays the correct pop-up message, depending if there's any combat stat or not associated with them. The Spring Cleaner 3000 will no longer speak until it has been unlocked. Yakamaru's stun phase and Mirage stun phase will now take into consideration the flanking perk. I guess it wasn't before. I wonder how the PVM folks feel about this.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe they probably didn't. Do they even have flanking on there? Is that like one of their?
I thought flanking was
DPS.
A fairly common one.
I don't know, man.
All right. Now here's one. Various spellings of tranquility: tranquility, throughout RuneScape have been changed to tranquillity. Notably, this includes the Brother of Tranquility. The solution to an anagram for a clue scroll to find him has been changed from rebirth quaintly wrought to rebirth not ritually.
Yeah, so I am really confused about it. Where did the Q?
Sorry, you cut out there, Sarah. What'd you say?
Where did the Q go? Like, I'm really confused about this one. That's not an anagram of Brother Tranquility, right?
What? Okay.
Like, either I don't know what anagrams are.
I would expect you to know what anagrams are.
Yeah. But, like, rebirth, not ritually, is not an anagram of broader tranquility, right?
No.
So why did... What? Did somebody not know what an anagram is at JerkX? Or am I completely misunderstanding this patch note?
I have no idea.
You lost me with the anagrams. I don't know.
I just entered in... I just used an anagram generator and I put Brother Tranquility in. And rebirth not ritually is not showing up.
Of course not. There's no Q in there. Anagram of Brother Tranquility will have a Q.
Someone call Dan Brown. Is there a... I don't know.
I am going to check what the actual in-game... Nope!
What?
Rebirth, not ritually. Solution, broader tranquility. That's what the wiki says.
An anagram is a word or a phrase or name formed by rearranging the letters of another.
I don't get it. There's no Q. What is going on
here? Is there
here?
Some rule in anagrams where you don't have to use all the letters?
I no idea. I don't know.
Because rebirth is 7 letters. Not is 3. Ritually is 8. So there's 18 letters there, right? And then Brother Tranquility is 3, 6, 7, 4, 8, 12. It's got to be some rule that you can't use all the letters, or you don't need to use all the letters.
I am completely... I don't know. I am...
Could it just be that they're a little... How should we say? Challenged?
Well, I mean... Like, if you're JMod, defining an anagram isn't going to be the... Or building an anagram shouldn't be the most complicated thing your day.
I bloody hope not.
I don't know, man. It's not ones and it's not zeros and ones. I'm not sure. Dealing with letters.
So, well, I was really confused about this patch note, but apparently you now have to know that if your anagram is rebirth, not ritually, it's not actually an anagram. Moving on, I guess?
Yeah, someone thought they knew what an anagram was and didn't.
All right. I'll make a special note of this one. You will no longer receive a warning when entering the Aberrant Spectre area of the Mauritania Slayer Tower while the Slayer helmet is on its stand in Anachronia.
That's good.
The ability to keybind area loot has been added in-game. Hit the settings interface. The settings interface then controls to set a keybind for it.
That is awesome.
Yes, it is.
That is awesome. Yay!
Never used area loot.
Well, I don't use it often because, you click and stuff, and I do as much as I possibly can to have stuff picked up for me, but, dude, that is great. If I could just hit a button on the keyboard, yes. Thank you. Keybinds are accessibility features.
Yeah, definitely. If a player examines a lorehound, their own lorehound will display their own quest points, and another player's will display their owner's quest points. And if the player's a master quest cape wielder, the owner's lorehound will display a longer message only visible to the owner when examined.
I want to request a ninja update for the Lorehounds.
Mm-hmm.
If you examine someone and their points are less than yours, I think your Lorehound should pee on them. It should psychic flag and pee on them.
That's not nice.
Come on, Shane. Would you not be going around just pissing on everyone's Lorehound?
I wouldn't.
I totally would.
I wouldn't. Fixed an issue with the Scrimshaw of Aggression where it's dropping more coins than intended.
Huh.
The spinning wheel in the Kadarn district now spins on the correct axis.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. This is, of course, the Flax spinning wheel. The triple charm buff from the familiarization D&D is now persistent after logging out and back in. When you're telegrabbing clues, if the player has the Charles Clue Carrier in their inventory or pocket, the clue will be automatically placed in the clue carrier.
Spaghetti goat.
Yep.
Spaghetti.
And that's it for the patch notes this week. I think that anagram one takes the cake, to be honest.
Yeah, I just Googled for rebirth, not ritually, and Redditor's all aboard that is indeed not an anagram, so it's not just us.
Okay, good.
I bet we'll see a new anagram pop up in the Comics Week patch notes. I think somebody had a bit too much to drink at the RuneFest after.
Why would QA not find that, though?
Oh, Shane, we can't question QA, remember?
Oh, we can question QA. Like,
we're that precious.
QA is not going to look at a specific clue because getting like all the random stuff to line up on that, that's just...
No, can't you summon that clue?
Specifically that one, I doubt they'll do that.
Well, keep doing it until you get it. I mean, how hard is it, right? I don't know. Give me one of those potato things where I can do anything I want in this game. I'll figure it out real quick.
You also got 120 farming real quick, right?
Yeah, I would. No, you're not wrong.
I feel like a saint choosing farming and herb lore to go to 120 first on my character.
Dude, how does this happen, dude? It's like you could – I don't know, man. You could be riding – on a manure wagon, falling off into a field that was just freshly fertilized and still land in a pile of roses, dude. Like, how does that happen? I mean, seriously.
Are you talking about the player-owned farm for me?
Well, just farming an herbler 120. It's like, really? Really? Out of all of the skills, like, they couldn't have picked two better ones for you.
I know.
How did I don't know.
We'll get to that in just a bit, but I actually want to talk about Game Jam first. Because it's a bit of a low-key affair this year, to be honest.
They slid it in there. I was like, where'd this come from?
Yeah, and you know the reason for this, I think, is because if they're always on stream doing it, if they're always providing progress updates to a Discord and not doing it naturally, they're not going to get as much work done on it.
But there are, for some of these, they did make Discord channels and will provide updates. Yeah. So, you know.
And Game Jam was always – see, and that – I don't know if that works with the Game Jam because that was always a back and forth with the community. Like, that was the whole idea of a Game Jam. Remember?
Like, yeah.
When they announced it, they said, like, oh, we'll also have the Game Jam starting on the 9th of October. And everybody was like, they mean November, right?
Right? No.
Right? And then they were like, nope, it's starting this Wednesday. But from what I can tell, so it's 2 weeks this time. And from what I can understand, they actually have 2 week sprints at JAGX from Wednesday to Wednesday. And this is just taking over one of the entire sprints. So it's a bit of a different format this time.
Yeah, it makes sense for
scheduling. I have to say, I prefer the weekends, kind of.
Yeah, because they're easier to follow. But I think we're going to actually see more concrete stuff come out of this one because, you know, most of the other ones name a game jam where something that was done in a game jam actually arrived, aside from Mod Timbo's Alchemical Onyx stuff.
Gizmo Bag. Player Own Farm.
Player Own Farm wasn't game jam, was it?
I thought it was mentioned in a game jam. If not, then we've got Gizmos. Now, we've had quite a bit come out of the game jams. Okay.
We even most of them actually came out as ninja updates, I think.
All right.
Yeah. Especially the smaller ones. And that Mod Timbo stuff, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, Shane. That was not the farm. That was a penguin in the sky.
Penguins musical. In Space, the musical!
Yes.
Musical raid! Best quest ever. I'm still hyped up for that one. I mean, come on. Beats Master Durzag.
Yes. I want
perfect.
That.
Perfect. Yamaharu. Beautiful. And the soundtrack. Oh, 10 out of 10.
Yeah. So this year, on this year's Game Jam, Sirion will be working on skilling offhands.
Sirion will
be? Oh, sorry.
We have a hell of an announcement.
I mean, Machani will be working on skilling offhands.
We were supposed to let the mob come up with that on their own, Shane. Now you just let the cat out the bag, or Sirion out the bag.
You are not working on skilling offhands.
I was skilling on Sirion offense. I wish
on
Sirion
offense. Oops.
I wish I was working on skilling offhands. They're one of the best RuneFest announcements ever.
I guess you'll be filling in or taking Johnny's spot, huh? I mean.
Yeah. No.
I mean, Shane's already put you there. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, I'm always the last to hear about what I will be doing, I guess.
Sirion's just going to show up in Cambridge at Jagex HQ with a box with the stuff in it. Like, I thought I was supposed to start today. I'm done with the skilling offhand. Can I come in?
Let me in!
Mod Raven will be working on the Araxer quest.
Alright.
Mod Camel.
I hope we don't have to kill it. Do we have to kill it for the quest?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
Mod Camel will be working on Slayer Most Wanted cards.
I thought we had those.
No, it'll be like, this Slayer Master wants you to get this from this Slayer creature. Bring it to me. Like an Abyssal
Merchant. Oh my gosh, that's going to suck so much for me with my RNG.
Huh, okay.
That's going to be so bad.
Mod Ryan is working on the PVM hub.
See, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Because...
And let me just say the last one. Mod Aerator will be working on Golden Clue Scrolls.
Didn't we just get Master Clue Scrolls?
Year and a half ago.
Oh, well, shit. Need a new Clue Scroll, I guess.
All right, so I think we should start from the top on this and talk about the skilling offhands first, because... You know, these were one of those RuneFest announcements from what? Was it 2017, I think, or maybe 2016?
2017, my first RuneFest. Okay. I was super hyped about it. We talked about it on the show, I'm pretty sure.
We talked about it a lot. We wondered where that update went. It never appeared. And, you know, I think the reason why you and I want this one so much is because it's one of those updates that... could, you know, completely provide a new dimension to skilling, right?
It's a Timbo update.
Right,
I mean, that should be enough reason. But no, it's... I honestly don't quite remember the exact details. I just remember that I was super hyped about it. But, you know, skilling... There is so much choice you have when you PVM. You can... I mean, maybe not that much, as much choice as we'd like... But you can choose your gear, you can sort of choose your approach, you can choose, do I want melee or magic or whatever, what kind of set effect do I want to go for. There's so much choice and strategy, and not so much for skilling. It's like, I just put on my elite skilling outfit and spam click. And that's the extent of skilling these days, which is kind of sad. And we are seeing some changes in that. Archaeology has a bunch of stuff that could be interesting. That's, of course, the perks that you have on invention, which weren't around at the time Skilling Off Hands were announced. That being said, Skilling Off Hands feel like one of these things that could have sort of introduced a level of strategy, a risk reward or a trade-off thing that you could do, and, you know, just in general add a bit more of a dimension to skilling. So
I see the skilling offhands as a something I talk about a lot is you should get maximum reward for maximum input, and I see this as a way of not only that, like increasing your active gameplay, but increasing your active gameplay through using your ability bar, which is something that you just don't use right now in skilling most of the time. I mean, there are specific cases, there are certain things, but for the most part, I think that these skilling offhands can really really add another dimension to make every skill have that active gameplay component, you know, even the ones that don't have it already right now.
I'd be interested to see what a farming offhand would look like.
I don't know.
Even if the effects are tiny, right, it just adds this extra little bit of interestingness.
And remember, there was a topic that you would be able to augment these with invention.
Mm. I mean, I saw on Twitter somebody suggesting that maybe these should come from archaeology now. Like, there's so much they could do with them, where they could come from. I think
we talked about that here, didn't we, Shane? Pretty sure.
We might have.
We did.
Okay.
We did it first.
All right. I might go back and listen to our episode on that then. Yeah, or at least that segment. And you know, it looks like he's got the original Timbo design, each of them focused around five different themes: sacrifice, restoration, time, elemental, and destruction. And I mean, yes, it's good to enhance onto skilling, but I think if you could bring the invention aspect into any existing skilling game, that would also be something worth talking about.
Yeah.
So for what it's worth, truly do hope this is something that is able to go forward and something that is able to happen in the 2 week stint, to the point where it is able to, you know, get pushed through and, you know, get the QA testing and the resources it needs to make its way into an update at some point in the future. And I hope Modshani gets it far enough, because he is leaving at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
I mean, if he leaves and it's not finished, it just makes it really hard for someone else to pick up on something that is, you know, midway through its development cycle. So I really do hope that they do this. And I mean, it might be, I don't know. You guys think it should come with archaeology, or do you think beforehand would be better?
I would like to see it with archaeology. I mean, knowing about it, I think is half the battle. And we want it tied to something, right? I mean, we want it.
I think tying it to invention would be fine.
I guess, I mean, that's the other possibility. I would be fine with invention or archaeology. I don't know.
I don't think invention needs much new stuff. It already gets a bunch from archaeology itself. Well, archaeology will be completely empty, so, you know, it might start fleshing it out right from the start already.
All right. I'm going to join Modshani's Discord server on that, because, you know, he has a specific channel in his own Discord that's set up, so we'll see where progress goes on that. Are there any other ones on this list that you guys are really excited about and think that should definitely make its way into the game?
I can tell you which one is going to make its way into the game, but I don't think we need it.
PVM Pub?
I mean, I'm really kind of salty about that, actually.
I sort of PVM hub is interesting because, you know, this boss portal in the Max Guild, people are going to whine about not losing access to that.
They're already giving them their way, dude. I mean, that's what I think is just complete horseshit.
I mean,
they've already whined, so they're already going to move that portal. But they shouldn't move that portal because we just talked
it's part
2 weeks ago
of the Max Guild.
Where the end game begins. You can get to every one of those bosses through another way. This was like a convenience that you had because you achieved Max, the beginning of the end game.
If you look at it from a sort of an holistic way, I agree with you entirely. Now let's look at what's going to happen in practice. We have a lot of people who don't really care anymore about skilling that much. They might not even care that much about archaeology except for getting the relics that give them more DPS.
Yeah.
They just want to keep bossing and keep making money. And they are, air quotes, stopped from doing that by not having 99 archaeology. So what are these people going to do? They are going to rush to archaeology to get back to 99 and not really get stuff out of the content.
Exactly.
And that
but they're
is
not stopped. Like they, you can get to every one of the bosses. This is just, I mean, it's literally for the people that put in the work.
That's not how they see it. That's not how they see it. You're taking something away from them. You're taking deem effort to get to your boss of choice away from them. And they will see that as an obstacle towards doing that boss.
But even though taking it all away from us, too. Like, I love my decanter. I love my challenge thing. I love this. I love that. I don't have any of that. Like, that's all going to go away. For me.
You can access the decanter
in the
center
of
just the same way as you got access to all the bosses. But it's not. It's
different. I think it's slightly different.
Hang on. I have a question here. What are the two most popular bosses to kill?
Nex.
And?
No. Is it?
I have no idea.
It's AOD and Telos. There are
Of course Telos.
There are heart teleports you can buy with reputation points that take you directly to the heart.
Yeah.
And
people use the portal for Nex a lot, is what I heard.
And there you go.
Yeah,
you use the portal
for Nex. It's kind of a pain in the ass to get to. I'll give you that, but you can get to it. I mean,
yeah, no, I agree with you from a holistic point of view, but I also get why they're moving, because I don't want people to rush through archaeology within days. I mean,
just to get back
to
the Max Guild.
But I don't want people to do it because they need to get back into the Max Guild. That is actually kind of why I would like them to put a grace period on it for everyone, but that's not happening.
Right.
No, but they are given a grace for comp and trim.
Yeah, which,
you know, it's like
which
shit
was in the comp and trim design spec. I just want to say that if they do the PVM hub needs to be not just a, you know, hey, we're gonna, you know, stick a PVM portal somewhere that's gonna be the same as your Max Guild PVM portal. They should do the PVM hub in the sense that it's a specific area. You can go there, you can, you know, kind of get a, let's just say, a path on which bosses run you'd want to take. And I mean, there's plenty of people who will say, you know, what bosses you should go start off killing first, right? I mean, you start with the easiest one, like the giant mole.
So from what I understand, it is going to
be
not
a bonfire
and
a portal.
Hang on,
It's going to be a bonfire, a chest, and a portal.
And from what I can tell, they were thinking of putting it in Death's office. Which means that if you die, you click a portal and you're right back into it.
And see, this is the silly thing. This is not as it was talked about at RuneFest as to what a PVM hub could be.
Nope.
Well, we can't ruffle the PVM feathers, you know.
But also, what else are they going to do in 2 weeks? What more did I have time for
in
2 weeks?
That's a very good point.
And they want this out before archaeology. So they...
I just don't agree. Why? I mean, you know, you talked about in a holistic way. I get what you're saying. But one thing that I keep going back to is, like, the one thing that makes RuneScape different than every other MMO is not its combat. Let's face it, its combat sucks compared to other MMOs. The thing that makes RuneScape different and special is the skills. And yet, that's the thing that no one... we ain't getting no breaks. You know, but meanwhile, they're going to... You know, PVM gets their
I have a simple moves. Solution to this. I have a simple solution to this. Move the PVM portal in the Max Guild outside to where the other portals are, because you can still access that even with only 199.
That's a good compromise.
And then let's do the PVM. Let's do the PVM hub properly at some point in the future.
I mean, I would be okay with that compromise. It's something anyway.
Kind of what I think they should do is should, like, we have two portals in the garden, one at 199 and one at 1599, I think.
Yeah, something
why
like
not,
that.
Yeah, yep.
Why not put the PVM portal right in the middle? 899.
Oh, that's even better. Oh, that's even better, Sirion. I like that. Or what if it what if you had if it was for like you had that 138?
Yeah,
max, so you had 99.
Max, or max combat. Yeah, max yeah. combat gives you access to the PVM portal. Put it in the See, garden.
That would Boom. Make sense. Like I would be totally fine with that. To me, you've worked for your 99 combats. Okay, that's fair.
I think that's problem but, solved.
Clip it.
All right, problem solved. I'll get the paycheck in my yes. In my post box in like the next week. Okay, next issue. What are we solving next?
Right on.
I actually did join Shawnee's server, and he's aiming to get two offhands done in this game jam. He wants to get the sacrifice offhand done, which is when you successfully skill, you'd be drained for 1% of your total life. This can kill you and cause unsafe deaths. And for every 10% of max health missing, you gain the following benefit. A 1% extra chance of success while gathering, or plus 1 damage per 10% missing.
I like the risk-reward aspect. I like the risk-reward aspect of this, and I think we need more of that in RS. Because this is not potentially not a risk everybody is willing to take. Like, imagine...
Like my level 3 skiller won't take that risk.
Imagine using this thing while Abyss Runecrafting.
Well, and it's going to give us... On the scaling side, we'll actually have to do some inventory management. That's something that only the PVMers really have to do at this at this point. And I mean, that sounds kind of fun and challenging.
Because Abyss Runecrafting is still the best XP rates.
Yeah, Soul Runes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you know you can potentially boost.
Because you got Something the Abyss there. Boost, you got the Demonic Skull boost, you got double XP.
Yes. Now, imagine if you're like, okay, I'm going to just take off 50% of my health and get like a small extra boost. But you've...
I can get one-shotted
but,
on my way there.
But to be fair, it wouldn't work for runecrafting because it's plus 1% extra chance of success while gathering.
Okay, maybe not the best example, but you get the point, right?
Yeah.
That's an interesting trade-off. And we need more of that.
Yeah.
I mean, the wilderness is supposed to give that trade-off. Do I want to take the risk of being PK'd for getting more XP? The divination in the wilderness is a great example for this.
Yes. Yes.
So there you go. Like, it's interesting. You can, and everybody has a different comfort level here. Like, I'm not comfortable training in the wilderness at all, myself, for example. So, I find it okay to have a lesser XP rates. But some people might want to go all the way on the edge, and they might not care if they die once or twice. I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Is farming gathering, Shane? Could we use this while we're picking herbs to hopefully pick more?
No, gathering is divination, woodcutting, mining, fishing.
little bit of archaeology.
And potentially archaeology,
yeah. The other one he wants to do is time. And when you have the time off, and you ready for this one? Everything you do will be 0.6 seconds slower.
But?
Yeah. Mining will receive a 10 times increase on damage. Fishing will be 10 times XP and fish gathered. Wood cutting, 10 times XP and wood gathered. Smithing, 10 times progress on your item. Fire making, instantly burn all items. Thieving could resist the auto pickpocket check that the thieving outfit uses, or change the tick rate to 1. It's currently 2 ticks. And these are just, you know, this is very early on for this one.
Wait, so the time one makes it
the 1
faster?
Tick slower. 1 tick slower.
Slower. But it gives like
10%
more progress.
No, it says
times
10 times the progress.
Holy crap.
You know, I will say though that this isn't exactly the active gameplay direction I thought it was going to go. Really? Like, at all? I mean, no, it's not bad. I'm going to say it's just I thought it was going to go a different direction.
And this isn't his design. These are as designed by Timbo.
Right.
He did clarify that.
That's really cool. I kind of like these.
Yep. Like I said, you're going to be working on them.
Yes, I kind of... Yeah, sorry. I knew all of this, obviously. I mean...
Yeah, that's all misdirection.
All right. I'm not too fussed about the Araxer quest, the most wanted cards, or the golden clue scrolls. We'll have to wait and see what comes from those. Everybody else who is doing Game Jam has been relatively quiet on the Twitters.
I think some of them are still looking for projects as well. So, yeah, poke them if you have something interesting.
Oh, I need to poke one of them about Elemental Workshop.
Ha! Yes. Mod Doctor, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mod Doctor and... I forget who it was. Mod Doctor and Mod Rolly. I don't think that either of them are doing Game Jam, but hey, they have the document and they might pass it on to someone. All right. They also did have a bit of a Q&A this week in terms of things that were talked about, a bit of a recap on archaeology. We're not going to go through everything that was talked about because this was a 2-hour live stream. Just some of the highlights that did come up, things that definitely need to be mentioned in regards to archaeology. So, and, you know, we'll also talk about Titanus about archaeology at this point. So we'll just start off by saying that you can only have 3 relics active at once. Each will use a certain amount of power. So certain combinations won't be possible.
See, this is something... I knew there were only 3 relics at the time active. I knew about that. I didn't realize this sort of power mechanic that we have in the Invention Guild as well, where you can't just put the best machines in each slot. And this is such a smart way to balance this. Like, this is
because it comes to player choice, right?
And it really comes down to player choice. And they were really talking about this. Like, they didn't want to separate combat ones and skilling ones, so you can choose 3 skilling and 3 combat ones, because they want you to have a reason to change them out and to really make this a trade-off. And the way they're talking about these relic effects makes me think that, you know, we were asking when Invention came out to really make... Like the tech trees, for example, I find them fake. It's a fake choice, right?
Yeah.
You always get the entire tech tree eventually. And the whole game of RuneScape is a bit like that. If you just level up and play stuff, everybody gets the same in the end. Everybody gets everything. And the relic is the first thing after the Memorial of Guthix, which is similar. Well, you can't just get everything. You have to actively make a choice. What do I find important? And that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
Because you can make, you can respec, like in most games, you can sort of respec, but it costs you. It will cost you. So it's not free. So the choice has real consequence. So you sort of have to live with it.
Tanis, did you hear about what all the different relics were? Hannes? Everything okay?
No, I did not.
Okay, we'll go through that, but just continue, Sirian.
I mean, that was basically it. I mean, okay. I think it's super smart. Like, you have to pay cost to activate them, and there's like this sort of cap on how powerful. Like, if you want one really powerful one that gives you maybe like more adrenaline, you can do that, but you can't really get anything else. If that's what you want, then great. If you just want three decent ones, you can also do that. So perfect. Well done. Really well designed.
Yeah. Okay. So recap, archaeology is a gathering skill. It's a manufacturing skill. And it's also a bit of an exploration skill with those relic rewards, amongst others, at the end. Janice, what do you think of archaeology? I mean, we went through exactly how the skill works on the podcast on the weekend. And for all intents and purposes, you use the gathering aspect. Sirian, you correct me if I'm wrong. You get artifacts. You get soil. You get materials. And a chance at rare special item, I think it was, while gathering.
Yeah, sometimes you get stuff that basically kicks off a mini quest.
Right.
Or mystery is how they're called in archaeology.
Then in the manufacturing side, you use these damaged artifacts and you repair them with the materials that you get. Or you can buy the materials on the exchange.
Yes, the artifacts, damaged artifacts are untradeable. They're like your charms for archaeology, whereas the materials are tradable, which is like your secondaries.
And when you fix it up, that's when you get the bulk of the XP.
Correct.
And then following from that, I mean, you could sell the soil, you could sift the soil for more materials, or you can go on those mini quests following from that if you get one of the rare items. So, Tanis, what's your first thoughts? I mean, you weren't here when we were going through this and went through all the mechanics of it.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I listened to it and thought Sirian did a great job of explaining it since he got to be there and kind of experience it. I'm really excited. I'm really, really, really excited about archaeology. I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but like the first job I ever wanted was to be an archaeologist. Like when you're like a little kid and you want to be a fireman or Batman or a ninja, like I literally wanted to be an archaeologist. So this is like a dream come true. This is like really cool. I feel like archaeology is divination and invention put together and done right the first time around. Hopefully. But I really do feel like that. Like, I feel like they I don't know. It's like it took them 10 years to figure it out, but
well, that's what you said. Like that's what you said this past weekend, Sirian. It is
exactly how it felt.
It takes
like the gameplay,
the bad stuff of divination or dungeoneering, fixes it. It takes the bad stuff of divination, fixes it.
It
takes the bad stuff of invention, fixes it.
And it takes the lessons out of mining and smithing, Memorial of Guthix, the Invention Guild, player-owned farms. There's even some management aspect in it where you send archaeologists on missions for you once you become pro enough. Become your own archaeology master.
We forgot to mention that on the show.
You slayer peeps. We get it right away. That's what the skill feels like to me, and that's good.
I'm really excited about it, and this is going to be the first time ever that like I will have one of my best friends will be in the race for the front page, you know, so that's exciting, you know, to watch that. And I know you guys aren't into the racing aspect, but it's neat to watch people figure stuff out over that first couple days, first week, first whatever. And because it's partially gathering, you can't fake that. There's no lamps. There ain't no bonus.
There's no lamps for 6 months.
Yeah. You know, so like I'm really looking forward to archaeology like this one.
I think it's going to be the first groundbreaking skill since dungeoneering.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that this doesn't have, you know, any of the problems that Dungeoneering had. You know, like I was telling my friend, you know, barring a 1500% buff in its XP within 2 days, like we saw with Invention, like that could happen, but I really don't feel like it will. I feel like it just seems so much more put together. It just seems like, Shane, you wrote in your farming article about an ecosystem. Yeah. I feel like they've started, like they put an ecosystem together with this mm-hmm. skill, and it's meaningful. And I really appreciate that. I think they've done I think they're on the right track. They've done very well with it.
I don't think I have anything else left to add on archaeology, but go ahead.
No, I mean, like it looks like it's going to have some impact on PVM, but PVM is not going to impact it.
Yes.
As much.
Yes.
As the, like that.
And it's not going to be a huge PVM impact like Invention was.
Correct. That's really good. That makes it really,
and you know, people were asking about, oh, you're going to get access to, you know, the 9 part slots on the gizmo, and they're like, no, you're not going to be able to make, you know, the stupidly overpowered PVM perks. That's not going to be happening with this.
Yeah, no, they're scaling it and balancing it so that just works out. No, it's not.
I want
to
get.
It just means you might not have to use quite as many of the materials, right? Like you can use more at once to try to get the perk you're trying to get.
But they're going to scale it down, so this is going to be as effective. So it, like, using 5 noxious components on a normal gizmo or using 9 on the ancient gizmo, the outcome is going to be basically in the same ballpark.
What do we get out of the 9 then?
Flexibility. You get to use more different combinations and, as a result, get more interesting combinations of perks out of it.
Okay, so things that would have required 5 spots to get like a class 3 or something, now we'll be able to get maybe 2 perks on the same gizmo that relatively hard to get like that.
We'll find out, but like, yeah, I guess just different ways of combining things, different options. There are also going to be new components introduced with archaeology, so it's just going to blow up in the number of possibilities.
I want to get Tanis's opinion on some of the relics since he hasn't heard of them yet, so I'm just going to read through some of them. Font of Life increases max health by 500 life points. Berserker's Frenzy, deal more damage, lower your HP. Just stop me if any of these sound interesting, Tanis. Death Ward, take less damage, lower your HP. Endurance, no longer drain runner energy while it's running.
Whoa, wait a minute.
What?
Death Ward in the one right before that.
Yeah.
You lower your XP,
lower your
harder.
HP.
Right, but with the other one, you're hitting harder. You'd be hitting harder for a longer period of time.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I'm not even a combat guy. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. Abyssal Link. Teleportation spells no longer require runes. Inspire Awe. 2% more XP in combat skills. Set reduction. Set bonuses require 1 less item to activate.
To come back to the Abyssal Link one, the teleport spells. Basically, if you have that, all your teleport spells will light up in your magic book, right?
Yep.
Except for one.
That's cool.
Except for one. Which one?
Apatol, because you need a banana.
Apatol, it requires a banana. It doesn't take the banana out of the equation, which is great.
That's cute.
Pouch Protector, rune crafting pouches never degrade.
Okay, that's nice for...
Ring of Luck, gain the effects of Tier 1 luck. Ring of Fortune, gain the effects of Tier 3 luck. Sticky Fingers, automatically start your next pickpocket action until you're caught.
Boom! Like that.
Yes, it's just like, that's just like elf one. I imagine that one might be tweaked somehow, because that seems a little bit overpowered when you look at some of the other PVM or thieving creatures out there, like the dwarves in Keldagrim or the knights in Ardoyan.
Yeah. Take it while it's there.
Healthy herbs. Herb patches will always be protected.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. And we can have three of these at the same time?
Yes, though some of these might be... So they quite have like a power cost, right? You have like 1,000 power to spend across the three of them. And some of these might cost like 500. So you can't have three of them. You need to sort of mix and match and min-max that.
Death Note, all guaranteed bones and demonic ashes drops are dropped as notes.
Oh, damn.
Deathless, dungeoneering deaths give no penalty. Divine conversion, convert your entire backpack of memories in one go. Ring of Wealth, gain the effects of tier 2 luck. Always adds, all cut logs from burn for fire making and woodcutting XP. Nexus mod, always teleport to the center of the abyss. Slayer introspection, choose the max.
Teleport to the abyss?
Teleport to the center of the abyss when you go in, rather than needing to go through that ring outside and use the shortcut.
So you could straight just do runecrafting, no risk.
Well, no. You would still need to run through the wilderness to get to the mage to teleport you. But
just changes your arrival location.
Yeah, you would arrive in the center rather than arriving on the outside ring.
Gotcha. Okay.
Slayer introspection, choose the max or min number of Slayer creatures when being assigned a task.
That's nice. I don't know if I'd use my energy on it, but it is nice.
Conservation of energy. Ultimate abilities refund 10% adrenaline. Heightened senses, gain 10% max adrenaline. Inspire effort, 2% more XP and gathering skills. Fury of the small, all basic abilities generate 1% more adrenaline. Persistent rage, adrenaline doesn't drain outside of combat.
I like that one.
Yeah. Lingering death, stunning your target refreshes your bleed effect. And unexpected diplomacy, all reputation gains are 10% faster.
I wish the 2% was a little higher, but I like that 2% gathering. I think that's my favorite.
My favorite one is the herb one.
That's 2%. Nice,
so that's 2% for gathering, which is also 2% for artisan, 2% for combat, and 2% for support. So,
it's 2% across the board?
You can pick a category of skills
to get 2%.
So, like combat or support or artisan or gathering.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Well, then you can activate whatever you're working on at the time.
Exactly.
You can switch them out. Okay.
Except for it costs you the currency, archaeology currency, to actually change which relic is activated.
Okay.
So each time you change your relic, you have to pay in that currency.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing we'll get a lot of that currency as we're going to 120. But
so you have a sort of a choice. You get the currency from selling built like repaired artifacts to a museum.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can't sell these artifacts to the collectors, which will give you different rewards instead. So it's a choice you make.
Well, as long as I don't have to choose between XP, then I don't. I mean, that's the only
I don't think so. The thing is, to unlock the relics in the first place, you might need to sell these things to the collectors, because some of the relics come from finishing collections at the collectors.
Gotcha. I could totally see myself always having the herb protector on and the 2% on whatever skill group I'm working on at the time. Like, I think those are going to be at least those two.
Yeah,
if that's all I can afford, it'll probably only be those two, but...
And if you're making incense, Death Note is also going to be
good. Dude, that's going to crash their price because of the impious ashes, but still pretty nice. No, you already knew that, right? I mean, you saw that. Like,
you're spilling all the secrets. Like, you're spilling all my secrets.
I personally really like Abyssal Link. That sounds really fun, because then I can use like the actual teleport skills, which I never use anymore.
It would be nice.
I'm not entirely sure what it's going to do with Law Rune costs, because...
Well, you know what that means? We need to sync for Law Runes eventually.
Yeah.
But who uses teleports in this day and age except
and
for Earth?
Who, I mean, who would be? I mean, who's going to do all runecrafting? Like, it's such a pain. You got to do it with a balloon.
But there's runecrafting potions now. So you can potion up to get double labyrinths.
That is true. You know what else? Like, the one potion I'm... Dude, I cannot wait for some charming potions. I'm like, yes.
All right. Well, in that case,
give me one of those.
Let's move on to the questions about farming and herb lore. Farming to 120 and the ranch out of time. And, you know, I just need to play this clip again because we didn't have it on the RuneFest episode, but everybody needs to hear this about the launch of the dinosaurs at the player-owned farm from Mod Raven himself, or I guess Granny Potterington.
These ones are quite dumb, and they've not realized they can just fly away. Don't tell them. We've got these absolute units! Look at the muscles on them! And we've got enormous bloody great death dinosaurs!
I had a blast of a time doing that section of the reveals. I'll admit that. It was great.
You know, I love Mod Raven, and good luck on his transition.
Wow.
So, I am still over the moon on the new farming and the new herb lore stuff. Like we were talking before the show, it just happens to be two skills that I have 120 in, two of my favorite skills at that. And, you know, herb lore is one of the most expensive skills to train, and boy, am I glad I got that done.
Yeah, I mean, you train herb lore on double XP weekends. That's how you do that.
And now everybody's rushing for it now.
Personally?
Yeah, they shouldn't, though. You got to wait for double XP.
I am not going to rush for 120 on either farming or herb lore.
No. It's going to be fast.
Because I get to experience the feeling of unlocking new stuff when opening up again.
Yes, and that is the one thing that I am a little bit disappointed that I don't get to do.
See, I'm fine with, like, farming is... I'm not as bothered as what I thought I was going to be because, honestly, herb lore and farming and summoning and smithing, those were like the four skills that I was going to just annihilate during double XP weekend. And I'm still, I mean, I would still like to do the same, although there have been some changes lately. But that is because, like, for one, I feel like I always want to be full legitimate maxed at all times. That's just, I love the feeling of max. Like, that's special to me. So, like, when something goes to 120, I have to get it. But my enjoyment is being that, like, maxed player. Like, I enjoy that. But there were some farming changes that... Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about these. Magic bean changes. So, right now, you put a magic bean in a patch and it grows.
Yeah.
And this is a problem on two fronts. And, you know, I've been reluctant to talk about this because I didn't want to exacerbate the problem, and I included a very subtle hint to it in the farming ecosystem article. That is, of course, the link to the sundry magic beans for the grapevine patch or the hops patch. And on their own, as it is right now, sundry magic beans in the grapevine patch are absolutely amazing. Okay? But if you combine that with buying all of the Ceridomen brews that are on the market at this point in time, you can make an absurd, insane amount of money making super Ceridomen brews with these. So that's problem one with this, is that it's effectively making it too easy to get grapes and make the Super Ceridomen brews, which isn't how it was initially intended. That's problem number one. Problem number two is that, recall that when the player-owned farm nerf came in, we said that, hey, there's nothing here for seeds. What are we going to do about that? And lo and behold, the change being made to magic beans is that magic beans will effectively become magic growth potions, so that you pop a seed in a patch, use the magic growth potion on it, and it grows up to full. So you just need the seed beforehand. Otherwise, everything else, for all intents and purposes, remains the same. And this, you know, this is what Tanis and I talked about before the show. You were focusing on elder trees, right?
Yeah.
But you can get Kalquit seeds for dirt cheap. You can get magic seeds right now for dirt cheap. I assume those are going to go up. But you can make up what you're going to lose on this if you stock up on your seeds right now and you go back to your kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to also take into account the price of the animal that you I mean, there's price in the animal too, that you're using for your beans. Honestly, I dealt with the player on farm nerfs partially because they didn't mess with the beans. So when I heard that, and to be like full disclosure, I have been working on this since last Double XP weekend. So, like, I've been working on it for a long time. So, of course, I was not real thrilled when I heard about these changes, because I feel like I don't think the seeds is a farming problem. The seeds not being worth this much, that is a slayer problem. That is not a farming problem.
Yeah.
Are you heartbroken, Shane, that you can get your seeds cheap? Like, seriously.
It's not. I wouldn't say heartbroken, no. I would say.
But you don't get seeds from farming, right?
No. Like, no.
So.
But it is the logical place to put a seed sink.
But we didn't need one.
I think we do.
You know where these seeds are supposed to come from? Bird's nests.
Yep.
And wood cutting.
Yeah.
And wood cutting is worth shit these days. So, I get your frustration. I really get your frustration. But I think this is similar to what we did with the runes back in the day. The rune value improvement.
Right.
Seeds need to become worth something. Because farming isn't supposed to be a skill that is dirt cheap. It isn't.
It wasn't dirt cheap when I did it. Back in the day, I was paying 180k for magic seeds.
It cost me thousands of GP every day to keep up with my farming training. That's how farming was designed to be. And now the only investment is time. So, you know, no, we're not heartbroken. And in a way, seeds becoming more expensive is a bad update for people who like farming. But if you look at it overall in the game, you know, it needs to balance out.
Like, yeah.
There needs to be a cost to it.
And on the other side, another lever that's going to be pushed is some of the new farming creatures are going to provide a way of getting more mushrooms in large quantities, which will help feed the zygomites.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what that is. What is that, Shane?
I think that's talking about the bountiful harvest or whatever that is to, you know, dramatically.
No, I believe the new mushroom types will.
Okay.
So Marcella mushrooms, I think you get like six.
Yep.
On a harvest.
Yeah.
These you might get way more, which means you get more units to feed your zygomites with. absolute units to feed your zygomites with mushrooms. So that's how I understood it. But in general, like, getting a seed sink, you know,
I'm happy it's about needed. That.
It's needed, and while it is maybe painful right now, and it's going to make farming yet a bit harder to train, it's still one of the easiest to train skills, let's be honest. Yeah. So,
Elder seeds can only be gotten from crystal chests, crystal implings, the motherlode maw, and crystal shapeshifters as a rare drop.
Yeah, and I couldn't get them for under 138k last night. So, ouch.
There you go.
But I'm hoping, this is one of my hopes is, we're supposed to get new trees, right?
Yep.
So if they're in any way better than the trees we have, which they might not be as good as Elder because there's only one Elder patch, so I'm guessing they're not going to be up to that level. But they might be they should be better than Magic, right? So as long as they're not an arm and a leg, maybe they'll help bring the Elder back down.
I believe they mentioned some of the levels. And of course, they're also bringing Mango Lishies. I don't know what the pronunciation is. And is, I want to say, Dragon Food to Bush Patches. So yeah. Bush Patches have might become good XP as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is and we're getting new fruit trees. We're getting new cacti. We're getting new trees. So everything is going to go up, I believe. And XP is going to get better. And especially for these trees, it's also important that when those seeds come into the game, they can hold their value for some time at least.
Yeah. And you know, one other thing I'd say, Tannis and other people, Kingdom, Spirit Seeds, 19.3K as it is. If you wanted to cash in on those after the...
Let's see, double that, 40. With all your bonuses, you might be able to get to about 50.
Yeah,
best,
and I mean,
maybe?
If it was just straight up double, you'd be talking, you know, around 40 versus 46. So... Uh-huh. And that's completely free from your kingdom.
I have like 50 of those seeds in my inventory just sitting around.
Yeah.
So.
And this is going to be a really good place to dump spirit seeds because I don't plant spirit seeds because they take too long to grow.
Well, they take a long time to grow, but you have to have like a monkey bar and a nut.
Five
and
monkey nuts.
Like a squashed 2 through 10. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's a whole ordeal.
Yeah, it is. So, and that's why I think Spirit Seeds is a natural extension for that.
It's definitely a good alternative. It's just that, I mean, for Woody Seed, it takes 4,000.
Yeah, and there's
going to
be a system for farming requests where the farmers at the Farming Guild, which is, of course, the manor farm as it is now, will either ask for specific seeds or ask for specific produce as well.
You know, and... I would have to run the numbers on this, but I don't know if – see, I'm not sure that beans would even – I don't even know if they will be viable because you got to think like you're losing the XP from the adult stage and the elder stage. So that XP is gone. You're trading that in for beans. So it has to be as much as you would get from that.
Right.
Or it's not worth it.
And based on that, it factors that choice in. Again, do you just keep your animals to elder or do you trade them in for beans?
Right.
So, I don't have anything new this week on Herblore to 120. I think that, you know, we're largely going to see benefits to the PVM side there. Do you guys have anything you want to illuminate on Herblore 120?
Nope.
No, I just feel like PVM guy's been drinking the same Kool-Aid for a long time. They're like, can we get another flavor? We're a little tired of grape. Can we get a little something?
And, you know, I think also... people's bank accounts are going to be hurting.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. But like I said, I'm going to park my ass down in my dungeon and get free herbs from my Chaos Giants.
There you go. There you go. All right. I'm going to go through the RuneScape survey somewhat quickly here because you didn't get to that talk, did you, Sirion?
Nope. Right. I was playing archaeology.
Right. Good. Okay, so diving through the survey, I got most of the questions here. I skipped a few that were kind of blasé. So you guys who watched it, you can write in if I miss something that's a travesty. So how often should we launch various types of combat content? Slayer, mob, spike every 3 to 6 months, whereas pretty much everything else is every year with the exception of hard multiplayer bosses. Where those are every 2 years.
I think that's right on what I said.
Yeah. I think I said every 3 months.
Finally,
democracy's
working.
Slayer mobs, too.
For now. This is just the first question,
And the bosses make sense. Next up, how appealing to you are each of the following proposed remastered updates for combat, and these are combat ones only. Number one, the skilling and combat boss got 70% of the vote, was in the top 20 of all updates. New Dragons, focusing in on the types of metal found in the mining and smithing rework, 66%. And the boss hub at 65%.
We don't make a skill.
Ugh. What?
We don't want a skill. I said, we don't want a skill.
At the very bottom of this were player-owned raidable dungeons, Hostilius the Autocrat, and Fight Caves and Jad Remastered.
See,
as well as the Slayer Towers and ED.
So people are on board with remastering.
Yeah.
Wrote an article about remastering. Nothing has been talked about with remastering. What? I am so confused.
We're going to get there.
Please tell us what is going on.
We're going to get there.
Okay.
You are right on point, and you are leading the charge. You know, they say a good leader doesn't determine what direction the crowd's going to go. You get in front of the crowd and lead it, and that's what your article did. Just wait.
Okay.
Remasters, right next on this next slide. How important is it that the following things are focused on? Fixes and functionality improvements and rebalancing of rewards to make it worth doing are extremely important. Everything else is important, with the exception of new stories to play, new challenges, and graphical improvements. People don't really care that much about those.
Duh.
I mean, people just want their old content to work again.
Yeah.
Now, here's the big one. What is your overall level of interest in the remaster concept? And you guys weren't at the Q&A. So give me a ballpark guess as to what number of people found this somewhat or very appealing in total.
At least 75%, I think.
Sirion?
I want to say a really high number. But given that you ask us to guess, I'm going to metagame this and say it's less than 50%. I think people want new stuff.
78%.
Oh!
I'm damn close.
Hannes is on a roll today.
Only around 13-14% find it somewhat unappealing or very unappealing.
Well, they can go suck it.
Because people love this game. They love the content they played. They just want it to be relevant. They want it to be good.
Yeah, and this bodes very good, because that's what the team is now set up to do is remasters. And Bob Timbo is in charge of the remasters team.
Right, but that's what's confusing me, Shane. Like, how are we getting all this new stuff and remasters?
Because everything that we heard about in the Q&A was done before the survey.
Okay, because that was the thing
and that's what they said.
I'm, like, tripping over.
And that's what he said at the end of the survey session. He said, yeah, we're talking about a lot of things here, and this isn't what you're going to hear in the keynote, but that's because we only got these results a few days ago and we didn't know we were going in this direction, but going forward everything will be tuned towards remasters in the survey.
See, that's great. That's absolutely great. And that was what I was tripping over, because I'm like, look, we asked for like a medium update on a Q&A, and they're like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of hard, and, you know, spaghetti code, and, we can't do it. I'm going, how on earth are we getting all this stuff? I mean, hey, I ain't complaining, but how is that happening?
I got another good one for you. What is the minimum number of quests you think should be released each year? Let's take a guess again. The range is between 0 and 30.
I would say 5.
6, yeah.
Okay. The spike is at 6. The other spikes are at 3 and 12.
Right on, Sirion. Nailed it.
And, you know, that's why they are bringing out the subquest team that'll be led by Mod Jack.
Oh, okay.
I feel like this restructuring makes so much more sense. The way that they're doing it now, having a team in charge of quests and a team in charge of episodic. I don't know what the other teams are. That's all we know right now, right?
Core experience, live ops, and what was the other one?
So
I don't know.
Is core experience like quality of life, like yes. in ninja stuff, like yes. what the ninjas kind of do now? Doesn't that make so much more sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So talking about quests again, what's the minimum time a quest should take to play through? I'm not going to ask for a guess on this one. The minimum time that people said is 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, sure.
Second at around 30% was 60 minutes.
That's long.
See, that's how long it takes. That's pretty much how long it takes me, even for a small one.
Yeah. How important is it in that story features in non-quest updates like dungeons, bosses, and skill training methods? This one was flat across the board. People said moderately important. People said slightly important. People said not important. But it was pretty much a tie with moderately important and slightly important just edging out a bit.
I think it's something that people appreciate if it's there, but they're not upset if it's not, kind of thing. I like it to be involved because I don't always want to do quests for the lore. I kind of like it being tied together.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Quests. Which of the following quests ranked the highest? Desert Treasure 2, Temple at Sintistan 2, which was announced in the keynote, Dragon Slayer 2, The Slayer Master Trials, The Origin of Zaros, The White Knight Finale, The New Elf Storyline Quest.
No.
It's new elf storyline quests, so within the existing elf storyline. The World Wakes 2, Back to the God Wars quest, and Who is the Raptor?
I think it's got to be Desert Treasure 2.
Yeah.
The World Wakes 2? What?
Yeah, we're finally killing Saradomin as well.
Ooh. Can I punch that blue smurf first? Just get it really, just a... Right, and his pretentious nose.
For what it's worth, the Araxor quest was number 11 on this list.
Yeah.
The World Wakes 2. That's got me spinning. Like, how do you do that? Like,
no. Here's a weird one. Recent updates, even non-quest ones like The Land Out of Time and Breaking the Storm, have tried to build a coherent ongoing storyline. Were you aware this was happening?
How do you miss that?
55% say yes, 45% say no.
I'm shaking my head right now.
But hey, 45% holds their space bar down. I mean, it's not that surprising. It's just like, oh, here's another little community event thingy. I mean, like the Halloween thing last year. I didn't read not one paragraph on that. I was just like,
it was actually really fun interesting anyway. Once it all started to pan out.
Okay, yeah, I found it lost me that first day. I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to read all this.
Yeah. Are you interested in the current storyline, which includes Karapak, Thok, the Needle, and the Elder Gods? 23-ish% say very interesting, 17% somewhat interesting, 14% moderately interested, 13% slightly interested. 16% not interested at all, and 17% wasn't aware of the current storyline.
Huh.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
the storyline.
This was a bit of a head scratcher for them, they said. So they're going to interpret these together, and that, yeah, people are aware that this was happening, but were also interested in it, and the rest just really don't care for the story.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised at that. So, like, at best, 40% of people are like, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the big storyline.
Yeah. Somewhat are very interested comes at around 37-38%.
Wow.
Tack another 17% for moderately interested.
Well, then at this point, they just need to wrap that up.
And quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the longer it goes, the lower that's going to fall.
Do you think bosses, updates like bosses, dungeons, skill training methods, and more should be tied into this ongoing storyline of Karapak and the Elder Gods? And 35%, the highest spike, say it should be the same as it is now. And another 32% say, I don't know.
Well, isn't that like, that's kind of hard to ask an average player,
yeah,
right?
And 21% say more than they are now.
Yeah, I mean, that's I mean, it's not quite in the weeds, but it's in the rough. You're getting into design territory, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I wouldn't know what to say.
I mean, I'd interpret this as, yeah, you know, we can do this and it'll be fine going forward because a good chunk of the people say either the same or more, a majority. So,
yeah, I think the only danger in it is having – well, no, actually, that's not a danger. That's actually a good thing. I was going to say having stuff locked behind quests, but actually I'm not opposed to that at all.
Yeah. As long as they aren't huge epics.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. And we can see where we're pivoting after this Elder God storyline with this, because they say we are interested in exploring the human kingdoms of Varrok, Falador, Ordoian, etc. in future content. Please rate the following aspects by how much they interest you. Interactions between the non-human kingdoms, history of the human tribes in the Fourth Age and how the kingdoms were formed, and open warfare between the kingdoms were the top three. And the only thing that really that the people really didn't care about was skullduggery and assassinations.
Well, we've had quite a bit of that, like with the elf storyline.
Yeah.
Even though that was the elf storyline, I was still skullduggery on the human side. Yeah. And,
I have a theory of how this is going to pan out with this after seeing this and, you know, stewing on this for a few days. I think we're going to wrap up this Elder God storyline. And we're going to supposedly usher in an era of peace. And as a result of that, we will start focusing in on the human kingdoms.
Maybe some remasters on Varrok and Lumbridge.
Yeah.
And then, because it's all peaceful, well, we're going to have to start a war with somebody. I mean, we done kicked the vampire's ass, kicked the Elder God's ass. The only thing we can do now is kick each other's asses.
All right. How appealing are the following updates to you? And this is the bottom rung of the quest, the ones that were the least appealing. Starting off with least appealing, Violet is Blue 2.
Aww. Fuck, I like Violet.
I know, me too. But they are working on that. They are definitely progressing on that. The Thought Quest. Sons of V.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. I would love to just go hang out with Fock all day.
Yes.
Talk about this in the car back from Runefest. Like, just go on a pub crawl with Fock.
That would be awesome.
I mean, and we were talking about this as well. Right? Like, we have all these massive quests coming out. Like, these Elder Gods and the world is in the, like, the world is in the balance. It's just give me a Fock quest.
Just give me a Thok and Thok quest so that we can get the Thok out of here and go do a bar crawl. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly! Like, just give me these small fun quests, because that... Honestly, before the world wakes... Before Wal'Guthrig sleeps, I should say, that was what RuneScape was.
Yeah, though, pretty much, yeah.
I need more of that. The quest. I need more of that, so...
Monkey Madness 2.
Oh, God.
Breaking History. New vampire storyline. I'm a bit disappointed.
No, we just finished it. Let's not. No.
I'd like to see what they're up to after that in the sixth age.
But Shane, we just finished these storylines. Now they're wanting to open them back up.
All right. Pilgrimage of Guthics.
Huh?
How Guthics came to Gilinor.
Oh. Nuh-uh.
Nah. One of a kind, too.
I mean, I don't know how you could do it, but that would be so neat to know the story.
Yeah. One of the Kind 2, the Dragon Rider quest.
Yes.
Riders of the Apocalypse.
That sounds not interesting. Like, we had an event and that was enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of feel that way too.
The Return of King Valance.
Yeah. And he comes back and he's like, what the hell have you done? This look at, what are you, a slumlord? What the hell did you do to my kingdom, man? You've got goblins in the damn castle. What the hell have you done?
I want this now, and I want this voice acted.
Yes.
Menaphos finale.
Um
I mean, I have tier 10 of app now. I guess it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, just so we can stick a fork in it.
And Barrow's Brother, the search for death.
I'm really kind of good with the Barrow's Brothers, but...
Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Themed weekends. They want to try and get away from double XP weekends, so how would you rate these alternatives? And lo and behold, the luck weekend comes out on top with 67%. Then double drop weekend. Then double resource weekend. Then bonus XP weekend.
Ew.
See, now this... I'm cool with the weekends, but getting away from double XP weekend? No. Don't like that. We can go back down to two, but I feel like there could be a sneaky ulterior motive to that. Like, why have a double XP weekend when you can buy it? I don't like that. It's quintessential RuneScape. You can cut it back. Hell, cut it back to one a year, but don't.
Yeah, and I think if you mess with luck and double drop, you're going to have problems with the economy, even more so than bonus XPs.
You know, I think so too. Why can't they just do this theme stuff like they did just, what, a month or two ago? Like, that worked. That worked perfect. Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, that was really good. Remember, we talked about it on the show, like, it actually encouraged us to actually do the stuff that was highlighted that weekend.
Yeah.
Or that week.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
All right. How interesting are the following types of skill updates? New skills and skill reworks are extremely interesting and very interesting. Oh, I should ask you for your guys' percentages. How many percent do you think – how much percent do you think new skills falls into extremely or very interesting?
20%.
I was about to say the same.
65%.
What?
What? No shit.
All right,
and then people shit when they lose access.
I know.
And now for skill reworks.
Oh, don't tell me that's low.
Take a guess.
60%.
Sirion.
30.
58.
Huh.
Okay. I still can't believe that doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, we're all four remasters.
Yeah. And
but we're four and new we skills.
And skill reworks. Yeah. But let's also have a look at new skill training methods like deep sea fishing. What does that fall at for extremely or very interesting combined?
Oh, I'm guessing that it's probably... Gosh.
40%.
Sirion? Yeah, something like that.
60.
Yeah.
Shit.
Now, existing skills to 120 has by far the lowest at 45%.
Ain't nobody wanting that, but it's happening, boys. Get your big boy pants on. You're going to have to go out there.
24% are not interested at all in existing skills to 120. And this factors into what they said. You're hearing things in this survey talk that you're going to hear different in the keynote. And that's why that's not going to be reflected.
Well, and I mean, come on, 24%. There's probably a higher percentage than that in the whole community that are PVM or do other stuff other than skilling. That's not their thing. They do not care about it. Don't want anything to really do with it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be at least that much of a percentage.
So
if it's a lower percentage than that, then I really will throw a shit.
So we are on the right track with skill reworks. And we said that after M&S, and now they're seeing it.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to do it. They just got to do it differently.
Well, and that's the thing, man. They were actually – all this stuff that has been going on behind the scenes, they have went through this PR bloodbath for no freaking reason. It's like punching yourself in the face. Like you just You let the community run wild with conspiracy theories. You did nothing to stop it. And you had all the stuff that you're keeping under wraps that all played into the winning strategy that you started with in the beginning of the year when you were kicking ass and taking names.
And like, the survey says, keep doing what you were doing in the beginning of the year and last year.
There you go. There you go.
Minus the new skills, which is a little bit interesting that people are actually more interested right. in that than
so, like, were. What a self-inflicted wound. I don't, am I wrong? Like,
it comes down to who's talking. All right. I want to move on to these. And this is another big one that, you know, we said that they weren't talk about in the keynote, but they got different data on after they committed to farming in Herblore to 120. To what extent do you agree with raising the cap of skills by 5 or 6 levels at a time? Let me just rephrase this differently. A clear majority say that they strongly or somewhat agree with that.
And I
They said in a Q&A after reveals that that is definitely something they're going to experiment with.
I just got to – I mean, I want on the record that I'm wholeheartedly against that. I mean
– yeah, I kind of like it, but I'm also against it because it's going to create a mess in max level caps, and it's just not very, very friendly.
And remember what happened when Invention was trying to be batched.
Yeah, and I don't – look, they've done – they did really well in the early part of the year, but I don't think we're at a point where I feel comfortable enough that you can go messing around with the skills, 5 levels here, 5 levels there – and feel confident that you're going to finish that. Like, I don't have that much trust. I mean, I like where we're going, but there's too many. I mean, things happen, right? Like, there's a lot of things that kind of fall by the wayside when strategies all of a sudden change or restructuring happens or whatever happens, and then that would just mess, like you guys said, the max up. It's going to mess a lot of stuff up. I think people are thinking about it in the terms of, oh, I can keep my max easier if I only have to get another 5 levels.
And that's the methodology that falls into this. And I think, you know, doing it in one shot, even if I didn't have 120 farming in Herblore, I'd still be a fan of that method over 5 at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. And I don't care if you've got bonus or you don't or whatever. People's always talking about the feeling of accomplishment and this and that. Now, you put up 104 mil, you better feel accomplished or start playing a different game because it is a slog. It's challenging. And I feel damn good about every 120 I've ever gotten.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next up, which of the following approaches would you like to bring combat and skilling closer together in terms of generating gold? Of course, goes back to the 5-year skilling plan at RuneFest 2017. The bulk of people say that either there should be introduced new money-making methods for skilling or buffing a number of non-combat money-making methods as it is. And of course, the lowest on here is rebalancing the most unbalanced combat moneymakers, bringing combat moneymaking down, doing nothing, or I have no opinion on this.
Well, I voted for bringing them down, but
I did that too.
But I don't remember. Just because they wouldn't hesitate to do it to other things. But I've almost given up on this. I mean, have you, Shane? Like, I've almost given up on the whole idea that skilling's ever even going to come remotely close.
Well, I mean, I see lots of money making methods with skilling. I see lots of money making methods with the new farming and Herblore updates. I also see the fact that there is no risk involved currently with skilling.
See, and I don't feel like there's a hell of a lot of risk on the PBM side.
Well, I remember David talked about his death costs too. So there's that. And, you know, I think this is something that has to happen over time. So we'll definitely be watching for this just to see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. I mean, I would love it. It's just I don't know if it – I couldn't sit down and figure out how to make it work. And I'm sitting here going, well, how can I expect them to do something that I can't even imagine?
That's a Mod Timbo problem.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right, let's get into the meat of the matter here. Which of the following three skills would you guys like to be reworked? Let's you guys guess your top three. Sirhan, go.
Construction. Fletch. No. Crafting.
Okay, and one more.
And summoning.
Tanis.
Son of a... My exact same three.
All right. The top three
in that
are...
exact same order.
All right. The top three are construction, agility, runecrafting.
Those were going to be like 4 and 5 on my list. Okay.
See, but I wanted crafting because I think we should be able to craft armor like we did with the mining smithy.
That's number 6 on this list. But there's actually something very appealing about that in the survey later on. So just hold on to your pants for that one.
Runecrafting is there for magic.
Yeah, runecrafting is weird why that's there. I feel like runecrafting is fine where it is with the exception of some of the magic gear stuff.
Well, maybe but people are thinking like mining smithing but using runecrafting for magic gear. Mm. That's how I thought of it. And then I was like, I don't know.
And
agility makes sense. That's
agility just sucks anyway.
Here's the ones that are below the threshold, below none of them. So there was an option to say none of them. Here's the ones below it, starting with the ones that people feel should be reworked the least: attack, defense, mining, ranged, strength, smithing, magic, constitution, invention, slayer, hunter, cooking, and farming.
Oh, well, luckily for you guys, we've got a...
No surprise there, to be honest.
This is kind of funny.
Yeah. All right. Next up, increasing free-to-play level to 5, massive agreement in the community with this, more than 50%. Mm.
I mean, they're going to try it out with archaeology and giving it to level 20 to free to play. But yeah, I really hope they do this.
Yep.
I mean, you get to 20 so fast that
you don't.
Free to play is such a joke at this point.
Exactly, and that's why people said that. They know this. All right, now here's one where I told you to hold on to your pants. Which of these are the top skilling updates and where they rated? In the general survey, because there's a huge list at the end of all the updates combined. So when I say a percentage, this is where it rated in all of the updates that were talked about. So the top skilling updates are the top 5. Let's just do here. Oh, no, I'll do the top. No, I'm going to do the top 7 because I need to do the top 7. I see why those are bolded now. Number 1, the ranged smithing rework. Number 2, the magic smithing rework. And there you go. That's why I told her to hold on to your pants, because these are the most appealing skilling updates. Number 3, cities as areas to be rebuilt. Number 4, skilling dungeons. Number 5, construction to 120 and rework. Number 6, summoning to 120 and rework.
Keep telling them.
Number 7, skilling abilities.
Oh, man. You think we'll get any of those?
I think we're going to get probably the reworks to crafting and runecrafting. I think those ones will arrive. And at some point in the future, construction and summoning.
But haven't they said that they didn't want to do anything like as big as mining and smithing anymore?
Yeah,
I feel like they're wrong.
But if they were to do crafting and fletching, they would do something different.
The skills mechanically, fletching and runecrafting and crafting, all work as it is right now. Smithing and whatnot didn't work mechanically. All you need to do with these ones is insert stuff at different tiers that create that same sense that you're creating your own armor. And I think that's what players want from that.
I don't agree. Why didn't smithing work and why does fletching work?
Because
smithing didn't work because of the tiers. It was like
Yeah, but fletching doesn't work because of tears. And crafting doesn't work because of the
tears, but
right?
Mechanically they're okay.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But why are they mechanically different than smithing? How is crafting these days different than smithing before the upgrade?
I think it's the
explain that
number,
to me.
But it's the number of ways, because on crafting you've got your leathers, you can make your armors and all that, but you have
the biggest problem with smithing, from what I understood, is that you make like 5 rune plate bodies in 5 seconds. With crafting, you make 5 royal dragonhide bodies in 5 seconds. It's just that one happens in the inventory and one happens at the anvil. What's the difference? Why does crafting work?
Well, I'd like to see it reworked.
Okay, you make a good point. I was thinking. I was thinking you could just add some new stuff along the way.
The problem with smithing is that way too many items came into the game. Right?
That was one of the
biggest problems. Thanks. Crafting has the exact same problem. Look at.
Oh yeah.
Like, dragon hide stuff is generally really good to elk because there's so much of it around, and elking is really the only sink for this stuff. So, you know, it is the same.
Yeah, okay. Ed, when you put it in that lens, it's actually going to take a while to do that, to craft an update like that. Pardon the pun.
Well, I mean, I don't see why these things are a bad thing. They've been on archaeology for a year. Mining smithing wouldn't have taken
18 months
if they...
18 months for archaeology.
Okay, but they're not saying that was a waste of time or anything. And mining and smithing are basically 2 new skills. Like, yeah, we had them, but they're completely... They're new. Like, I don't feel like that's been a waste of time. Like, I'm still smithing. I'm smithing right now.
Same.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand how that... Okay. Be a waste of time.
Well, I mean, the players have spoken on this. I mean, it's very clear these two are right neck and neck with each other.
And look at what else keeps coming. Construction over and over and over. Yeah. I don't know when they're going to listen to that.
People don't vote for a crafting or like a ranged smithing rework and a magic smithing rework expecting it's just dumping a new few tiers in there. Like, exactly. We just had the mining and smithing rework. People are going to vote on this because... Yep. They want something like the smithing rework for these skills.
That's true.
You know, I think Jerry should take the hint and go back to the drawing board on those.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. Because now that we've seen what we can have, it's going to be hard to not give us that.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Next up, player-owned updates, rare drop table booster, boss drop rework project, and golden clue scrolls. People just want more stuff. But the one that we definitely know is going to happen is Magicking Miscellanea will be reworked.
I would like to see new boss tables take a good old fashioned kicking in the nuts.
Yeah. Okay. And that's it for the actual survey questions. Then we got a countdown of the least and most popular updates. The least most popular updates, ones that are gone and will never be heard from again, include RuneScape Card Battler, RuneScape Auto Chess, and the RuneScape Pet Battler.
Good. Thank you.
What's Auto Chess? What was that?
Auto Chess.
Oh, Auto Chess?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same as that Dota game that now exists.
Okay.
It's other called, ones. It's literally called Dota Auto Chess.
Okay.
Wow. Other ones on this list include Violet is Blue 2, The Thought Quest, Player Owned Raidable Dungeons, Sons of V Quest, Dungeoneering Races, Player Owned Bath Escapes, Castle Wars Remastered, Floor 61, World Army, Hostilius the Autocrat, Fight Caves and Jad Remastered, 4 and 3 Returns. That is, of course, a wilderness going back to the Second Age, how it was with the Needle. Slayer Towers, an elite dungeon, The Death of the Wise Old Man, Monkey Madness 2, the Araxar Quest, and Breaking History Quest. And they said that one of these things was on this list to be announced in the keynote, but they canceled it because of this survey. So which one is it?
God, I hope it's not Monkey Madness. God, I hope it's not.
I think it's the Death of the Wise Old Man quest.
Why do they have to kill everybody in this game? Like, anyone you like, they have to kill them off.
It seemed to have worked for Game of Thrones. I think that's what they're taking.
Not wrong.
I think it has. It probably was a quest. My reasoning for that is that the reveals are pretty lore heavy already, and they probably wanted to cut down on that, especially if the survey results.
Maybe it was 4 and 3 returns then, because they were all, you know, Needle lore heavy.
Yeah, that could be, and that would have been a fairly the only PVM announcement we got was the Elder Godswords dungeon, which is in very early stages and really weird that it was announced. So that definitely felt like the last minute drop in update that they put in there. And it makes sense that it would have replaced another PVME update, so 4 and 3 returns.
Another ones that are in the back of my mind could have been Fight Caves and Jad Remastered, yep, or the Slayer Tower Elite Dungeon.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably one of those three. I was initially leaning towards the quest, but thinking about it, it's probably one of those three. Mm. The next rung... Pet Park 51%. I'm not going to read through all of these. I'll just want to read through the top 10 updates that were mentioned. Rare Drop Table Booster 77.6%. Top update that people want.
No.
People get pissy when they get a rare drop table, an RDT.
Next up, Range Smithing Rework, Magic Smithing Rework, Boss Drop Rework Project. Golden Clue Scrolls, Managing Miscellanea, Kiramja Remastered, City of Zez Areas to be rebuilt, Varrock Remastered, Skilling and Combat Boss, and Skilling Dungeons. Those are the top 10.
I hope Kiramja gets some love. Could you imagine how they could make that look now?
Yeah.
It could be so much better.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, they could make it look like Anachronia and make it impossible to see where it can walk and not.
Oh... You know what? That is a good point. Don't touch it right now. That's a very good point.
All right. That took longer than I thought it would to go through all this RuneFest stuff, so let's just move on to questions, I think. There was one other thing that I wanted to talk about in the survey. There's one good question asked, and I got to point this out. Is there any plan to start polling Elemental Workshop again? The answer to this is that Mod Rolly and Mod Doctor have a document that was passed down by Mod Dylan about what should happen in this quest series. Mod Osborne said it may well happen in something like a game jam.
Plus, I didn't see it in this one, so...
I need this.
I'm gonna go find a JMod on Twitter who's not busy after this show and start making a case.
Shane, if you make this happen, I am making you sit down with me, and I'm going to stream it so that you can help me with these puzzles. Because I will be stuck for weeks, probably. If not, yeah, probably. Probably weeks. And I'm going to blame you.
Alrighty, folks. That's it for RS updates. We do have a couple questions that we'll get through before tech news. I know this is a long show. I want to do the questions. But before we do that, I'll just say thank you to our Patreon supporters this week. Everybody, you know, you guys are truly awesome for doing this. I'd like to thank Arvid's L., Brock H., Cass, Darren L., Diana, Jason S., Kyle, Logan H., Rippeth, Sam W., Tom V., and Zez. Thank you all of you for your wonderful support. And if you want to join these people, you can head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb and sign up to support the show. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to the entire back catalog of the monthly bits, early access to the show notes, the ability to vote on the monthly bit for a topic, and join our roundtable. That's a lot for $1 a month. That's the easiest way to get started. We also do have a plan for $3 a month where you receive a special VIP rank on Discord and stereo AAC versions of the show. In case you want to hear Mod Raven in high quality talking about absolute units. And for $5 a month, you get a shout out on the podcast every week and gain exclusive access to the clips that we use for the clip show, which is coming up in about 2 months' time. So, as you guys know, we're doing our monthly bit bonus show. We also have Inside RSBNB Update, but more news on that later in the month. That might be changing just a wee bit. The RSBNB Update Roundtable takes place in the middle of the month, and movie night in the RSBNB Discord, which we're currently aiming for. We're about two-thirds of the way there. So if any of this sounds interesting to you, we would love for you to support us. Visit patreon.com/rsbnb. And thank you once again to everybody who supports us there. All right. Questions from Whitey. Number one, do you think RuneScape needs a new skill? Personally, I think the new 120s are enough.
I didn't, but ever since about July, I changed my mind and said, yeah, we do need one. And we need it to be archaeology. And I was not disappointed.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't think we needed a new skill.
You didn't think we needed archaeology.
I definitely didn't think we needed archaeology. And then I played archaeology, and now I think we need archaeology. I mean, it's simple as that. I don't think RuneScape needs skills for the sake of adding new skills. I think RuneScape needs to do whatever makes sense. And archaeology at this time makes sense.
Right.
It fits in the current timeline. It fits a lot in the theme of going like more narrative driven. You know, it just makes sense that archaeology comes out right now. It fits really well with the other updates that are coming. It's going to integrate way better than Invention did when it came out. I believe that. It's the same as with the 120s, right? They are releasing 120 farming and 120 herblore in a really natural point for them to be raised to 120. Herblore is full. And we're getting to the point where they want to add new things but didn't have space for it. Farming is more popular than ever after the PlayerUnknown Farm. It goes really well together with Herblore and also is a pretty full skill. So they've made these decisions because it makes sense for these skills to be raised to 120. And I think the same happened with archaeology, right?
Yeah.
They were like, this... They needed something like this to fit into the game, so they made archaeology to fit that niche.
Yeah, definitely.
And that works out really well. I mean, that is looking to work out really well. Could they have done it without a skill? Maybe, but it naturally just made sense to put it as a skill.
So yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And you know, just to talk about this, RuneScape is in a very mature place currently, I think. So, like you said, it'll only be done when it makes sense to. And all you need to do is look at the time between skill releases, and RuneScape Wiki has a really good list on that. The first new skill with RuneScape 2 that was released alongside of it was RuneCrafting. This was March 2004. Then in January of 05, 9 months later, almost 10 months later, we got Slayer. 5 months after that, we got Farming. 10 months after that, in May of 2006, we got Construction. 5 months after that, we got Hunter. 1 year and 1 month after that, we got Summoning. Then we have a bit of a break. 2 years, 2 months later, Dungeoneering, April 2010. 3 years, 4 months after that, Divination. 2 years, 5 months after that, Invention. So you can see the cadence that as the game got more mature, the gaps between skills decreased. And I think that's just the way what they've been doing probably ever since the launch of summoning, I think. Is that mm-hmm. it makes sense to add it? Add it in. So. All right. Next one from Jad Chor. Do you think the loss of Mod Shani is going to have any impact on the future of the RuneScape community? Updates and changes, I think, has been the face of many updates, betas, Q&As. Is engaged really well for community feedback, such as during the live streams, and he'll surely be missed. And for anybody who missed the memo on this, Mod Shani is leaving Jagex at the end of the month. He's got a different career opportunity that will allow him to spend more time with his family. And, you know, I completely agree. He will be missed. He is the face of the company on live streams, on Reddit in particular, on social media. And it'll be very interesting to see who steps up to fill that gap. I can think of one person who I would love to do that right now. And I don't know if he's got the time in order to be able to do that. But we'll see. I can think of one person who would do it really well and who I'd be lobbying for to be in that position. But I think as long as they have a seamless transition to who is going to be the future face of these things, everything will be okay.
Well, see, I feel like it's going to be hard. I mean, it's hard to replace Mod Shani, right? I think he has the trust of the community because it's almost like he started from the bottom. Now he's here, like with all of us, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, he really has only been with the company, I think, since late 2015, maybe early 2016, too. So there's that aspect of it as well. That he's not one of those, you know, decade-long veterans with it.
Right. And I think over time, like, he's become a little less accessible than he was at first, just because of the sheer amount of stuff. It's one of the problems of being good at your job. The better you are, the more crap they're going to give you, right? So I have no doubt that he is, you know, swamped. That being said, I mean, there's another community manager, right? And I would assume that they're going to move into this spot. They've been...
The way I sort of see it is like Mod Shani introduced a certain relationship with the players that the players have come to appreciate and even expect. With Mod Shani leaving, the players are surely going to push for that spot to be filled because it's sort of a necessary role. So it's up to Jagex to fill that role, I think. I think Mod Shani introduced the relationship, but with Mod Shani himself leaving, doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship needs to go away. It just takes one other person to step up and take that role and start taking over. And it's got their big shoes to fill. Like, it's going to be really hard, and they might have to spend a lot of time on gaining the trust of the community, but it's not impossible.
No, I want people to give whoever, however it plays out, give them a chance. I mean, Shane, is there any problem with saying who I think I would like to see
there?
No,
you can say who you want, but I'm going to keep my cards close
to
my chest on this one.
I just want to look, I think Mod Porky would be great. I think he has shown an interest in, like, caring about what players think, which is the first step, and that's one of the things that, like, you can't teach someone that. They either care about the community or they don't. And what I've seen, I feel like he does, and I think it's going to take time. Still relatively new, but I think if we gave him time, he would be great, and I think he could totally step in and do a great job.
Okay. I think that would work. And, you know, for the longest time, he did sit beside Mod Shani, so I assume that they, you know, were very much a tag team in that, though I don't claim to know how things worked internally. So, and,
but
you know,
he at least showed interest. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I also think that in regards to updates changing and whatnot, no, that's not going to change. That's a different department entirely on that. All right. Next from Diana. Out of all the RuneFest reveals, what are you most looking forward to? Let's answer this one right away. And, you know, it goes without saying for me. That's 120 farming.
Archaeology.
Yep. Archaeology.
Okay. That was easy. Number yep. two, one thing I took away from some of the upcoming releases was a focus on pulling the story forwards by going into the past. The City of Sentistan quest and archaeology are the most obvious examples of this, but the Orthon dig site and Anachronia also appear to be a part of it. What do you think of this? Would you rather new content be pushed forward in time? Are you happy to see the blank or nearly empty parts of RuneScape's history and mythology being used to forward the storyline?
I think this is a perfect time and perfect opportunity to do that, because if this starts lining up with remastering, like, that's perfect. You know what I mean? Like, you're shaping the future by looking at the past like that. I feel like those things could really line up really well. And I like to know, you know, I like to know the history. I don't feel like the Elder God stuff like did as well as we had all hoped. So
well, the survey is evident of that.
Right. There must be something about the past that we all just find fascinating or want to know more about.
For me, I think, you know, the dig site in the City of Sentistan have always been very interesting. I'd love to have more of that. But in particular, in regards to archaeology and Orthon and Anachronia, I think that's perfectly fine to, you know, look at the past history of the game world in order to move the story forward. And I think that in doing this, they can also use this as a teachable moment, because there's many people who play RuneScape who, let's just say, are not as interested in history of the real world as I am. I'm not saying that with this, that the history of the real world should come into RS at all. Definitely not. But people in general in this day and age tend to focus on the current interpretations of events and meanings. And, you know, for the longest time, that's how it's been in RuneScape. But when you apply the lens of history to anything, you get an entirely different perspective on it. And this is one thing I think they might be doing. I think by looking at the past, we could have potentially one storyline going on, and that's fine. And they can progress that going forward, because archaeology is the study of unearthing relics and whatnot from the past that have been buried in the dirt. You are, in essence, striving to get a new perspective on history doing that. But I also think they're going to be looking forward, because for anybody who's activated a totem on Anachronia, you'll note that you have those temporal disruptions that you need to close. And in doing so, when you're closing those, you get a skybox that's very reminiscent of the skybox on Frenisce and Kethsi. And we know what that was. That was the world before this revision. So what I'm assuming that's happening with Anachronia, and it's going to happen with the Elder Gods storyline, is that we're going to use archaeology and, you know, the dig sites at Orthon and on Anachronia to learn about what kind of mythology might have been in place with Elder Gods, or just pretty much any kind of lore aspect from the past, and use that in our fight going forward to prevent the Elder Gods from destroying that world and preventing that glimpse we're getting into the future of Gilinor when we close those temporal disruptions from actually happening.
That's
how I think it's all going to tie together.
Yeah.
So I want to come to this from a very, very different angle, which is more, I mean, surprise, surprise, game mechanics-wise. I think the way that we have been trying to push forward into the storyline doesn't really work well if you look at things like quest progression. Every sort of chapter, people have to like the quest requirements are reset. You can play all of the sixth age, pretty much all of the sixth age before even touching the fifth age.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't really work. And when you get into the game as a new player, the storyline is a bit of a mess, let's be honest. And trying to keep pushing that forward doesn't really work. On the other hand, by filling it, like by stopping the fact, the progression of the game for a tiny bit and just putting a pin in it, like how it was, when we joined the game, there was, strictly speaking, a timeline, but it didn't really matter. We just put a pin. It's like, it's now the fifth age. And we learned a lot about the history, and we could fill in more gaps and add in more content without ever having to worry about sort of where it is in the current day timeline. And that is what archaeology and Anachronia and all that stuff adds, because it doesn't matter when you do it. You can be in the fifth age, you can be in the sixth age, and it works. Well, divination is a bit of a weird one, right? If you want to be strictly chronological, you can't train any divination until you finish the War Awakes.
Yeah.
But for all the past stuff, that doesn't really apply anymore. So if you look at it from that perspective, they can do much more without getting the awkwardness that we now have around 5th Age and 6th Age quests, and sort of the new storylines that start the difficulties from scratch.
That's actually really good. I like that lens on archaeology.
Well, that's why Jagex pays him the big bucks.
Yeah, and after this podcast, he's going to work on skilling offense.
All right.
Alrighty, thank you everybody for your questions. That was a great question segment. If you want to send your own in, you can DM us on Twitter or send us messages on Twitter at RSBNB. You can also post on the forums at update.rsbnb.com/ask. Okay, so we had big news this week from Blizzard.
Wake up, Blizzard.
So what happened is there was a Hearthstone Grandmasters player that was playing in a live broadcast over the past weekend. And, you know, he played his match and did a post-match interview. And, you know, he had his title stripped from him for this. And he had his winnings also stripped from him because, you know, there are real world money prizes associated with this. And just a quote from the release from Blizzard here: effectively immediately Blitzchung is removed from Grandmasters and will receive no prizing for Grandmaster Season 2. Additionally, Blitzchung is ineligible to participate in Hearthstone esports for 12 months beginning on October 5th, 2019, extending to October 5th, 2020. We will also immediately cease working with both casters. And, you know, the Blizzard release doesn't say what he did, but he made a statement that was effectively liberate Hong Kong because of the situation that is going on right now and has been going on now for months in Hong Kong, as in China trying to exert greater control over the territory. And, you know, being an esports player, he shared his views on this interview following this. And, you know, Blizzard being a company that wants to work globally, and that includes in China, bent to the will of what the Chinese government wanted and stripped him of his titles. And we can extend this out to other companies too. Apple recently removed the Taiwan emoji from phones in Hong Kong. It never previously existed in China.
Oh, shit. The NBA's still on their knees.
The NBA. You can list pretty much any major company that we typically view as Western, and you will see that they bend in order to appease China to get access to the Chinese market. And before I turn you guys both loose on this, let me just say a company is entitled to do what they want in order to make a profit. But they had better well be ready for the wrath of people when they see them bending to a dictatorship, in this case China. And that's what's happening with Blizzard. People are talking about cutting their Blizzard subscriptions, cutting all Blizzard gameplay, not buying anything else from the Overwatch store, as an example on this. And, you know, this is, I think, an awakening moment, because many people in day-to-day life, really, I don't think, unless you're paying attention to international news or looking at the situation in Hong Kong to a degree. But this is one of the largest gaming companies that we see in 2019, Blizzard, taking this kind of action.
Isn't it fun to watch libertarian chickens come home to roost? I love it. Because for years and years, we've been told the market's like this freaking God, you know, right? And it's never wrong. Well, there you go. There's how that shit works out if you take it to its logical conclusion. At the end of the day, I have never understood why we are perfectly willing to let a corporation rule us in ways that we would never allow a government to.
And, you I just want to say this penalty of not being able to participate in esports from October 2019 to October 2020 is exactly something that the Chinese would impose.
Well, yeah, it's something they would yeah, it's exactly what they would do. And that's the thing, like that's why I'm not a fan of multinational corporations anyway. I believe they should have to abide by the laws of the country they are
incorporated in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you get to go do some Irish sandwich back bend so you don't have to pay taxes or whatever the hell they call it.
That was Apple.
Okay. Well, but you know, but look, you can't say that you're absolutely unwilling to ever let the government tread on you. They'll never, you know, go against your freedom of speech and then turn around and hand that right to a corporation, because that corporation doesn't care, man. They don't care if it's a dictator.
Yeah.
How much money you got?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, I'll say this publicly now. Next time I need a new smartphone, I will happily look for a company that does not manufacture in China. Not because of this Blizzard issue, just because of other Chinese situations recently. And that's going to be hard to find, but I'll do it.
Well, and it's getting out of hand. I mean, unfortunately, the Cheeto-in-Chief just isn't very good at coming up with the proper strategy. But the fact that you're going against China, that's good.
Yeah, and I'll give you another example. I got a very basic plastic stand for one of my models this week, and I was overjoyed when I saw that it said made in Taiwan and not made in China on it.
Well, you can't even – I mean, geez, could you imagine if someone from Taiwan had said that? Next thing you know, they'd be Chinese carriers in the damn water, and guess what? It's America's responsibility to defend them.
It's happened.
So keep that in mind.
It's happened.
Keep that in mind. I know.
And, you know, this is an absolute – I'm just going to – you know, I don't know if I need to bleep this, but this is an absolute shit show.
Yes.
And, you know, I'd like to hope that this is a situation that will resolve itself immediately, but I don't see the Hong Kong scenario de-escalating. And I hope that this Blizzard situation is one that will – draw more eyes to what actually is happening in Hong Kong.
You know, and I hope that people begin to realize corporations are not people. They don't have a conscience. They are not patriotic. They don't give a shit.
And if we wanted to extend this, we could get a list of all the corporations that have bent over backwards for Hong Kong, but that's beyond the scope of tech news. So, Sirion, do you have anything on this? Or
nope.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Tanis, anything else?
No, I mean, this is one of those cases where even though our different right and left actually coincide because of our populism.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. We're both like, China.
and you know, we say that, but we mean it in the sense of the government and the government.
Oh, of course.
Not necessarily
of course.
The people in China who are just, you know, simply trying to get ahead and, you know, live a good life and come out, you know, into the middle class, so to speak.
People want the same stuff no matter where you're at. You want your kids to be safe. You want to be able to make a living. And you want to not be hungry and not be cold. That's it. You throw a dart on a map of the world, and wherever it lands, people's going to want that same thing. So no, I criticize governments. That's my criticize governments, and I criticize political theory, but not people.
Okay. Next up in tech news, Spotify is now cooperating with Apple in that one of the most recent iOS updates now allows Spotify to be controlled by Siri.
That is so cool.
With iOS 13.
Dude, I'm totally going to buy into Spotify again. Like, if I could tell Siri to play music and actually have her do it. Oh, nice.
And there's also going to be a Spotify Apple TV app as well. In this regard. And remember, it was only last year that Spotify was complaining about the App Store being overly restrictive in what they could do. And lo and behold, in iOS 13, they pretty much get all the APIs to do what they want. And there might be, of course, still some outstanding issues on the payment front. But I think this is a big thing for users at the end of the day. And I know Sirion's just sitting there thinking, yeah, Android could probably do this. How many years?
My Google Home did this from the day it came into my house. Like, I'm not entirely sure why you're so happy. Because I'm like, my device has been doing this for, what, 2 years?
Right. To be fair, I am locked in an Apple ecosystem when it comes to my phone. Like, I haven't found anything that
I escaped it. You know. I escaped it. I broke that through at some point, and you know, I was skeptical at first, and now I don't want to go back.
No, I mean, I would change. I've just never found something that has the same accessibility that the iPhone has. Like, dude, with this new iOS 13, like, I have VoiceOver turned on. Not only does my VoiceOver tell me what I'm touching, it'll describe the damn picture to me. Like, wow. Like, it blows my mind.
Mm.
You know, that's why I'm here.
Like, I'm not super familiar with the accessibility features, so let's be honest. Yeah. But I have played around with it a tiny bit, and I know the Android does a lot of cool captioning stuff. So I know it's really good. Like, in Android 10, there's this feature where you can just turn on captions on anything. Video, music, sound, a live conversation. You tap a button and it will just start captioning it, which I think is amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so in theory, you could play like the YouTube version of RSP and be updated and would caption it in live.
Basically. And if I understand correctly, it does live translation on that as well if you want to.
See, that's great accessibility on a hearing.
Exactly. I just don't know how good the VoiceOver is, but I know on that front it's doing really well, and it's a really important theme in Android.
Cool.
This could be the iOS version that breaks down the walls, maybe. What do you think? iOS 14, choose your browser and mail client?
Oh boy, I hope so. I still think the browser ecosystem on iOS, it surprises me that the EU has not done any investigation.
I mean, you can use Firefox or Chrome, but you're not getting the same experience if you're trying
something. No, the fact is, like, you can download Chrome and Firefox, right, on iOS, and you think you're using a different browser. Yeah. It's not the case. It's Safari with a different skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that is problematic. Like, that... that is abusing your power as an operating system. You're locked into using that browser.
The U.S. government went after Microsoft for this in the late 1990s.
So Microsoft got completely, slammed for this on Internet Explorer. Google gets completely slammed for this, even though it takes 10 seconds to install a different browser on Android. And iOS, people are fine with the fact you can't even get a different browser on it.
We're just so used to Apple always has been this way that we're just...
No, but regulatory-wise. And, you know, Safari is one of the few apps left, aside from messages and photos and the camera and the phone app, that you can't uninstall on iOS.
Mm-hmm. It is so weird that there's such a difference between the two. For mail, you can, install Gmail, and that will work fine on iOS, and you can sort of ignore the
existing
mail.
Yeah, that's what I do.
But when it comes to web, you're not allowed to put your custom browser on the App Store, and which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. They claim they do it for quality issues because they know, they have a good browser. But if they really had the best browser, they didn't have to be afraid that other browsers would take over market share on their operating system. So to me, the only reason they're locking it out is because they know Safari isn't the best. They just want people to use it. So,
yeah.
I find it gross. And that also one of the reasons I stepped out of the Apple ecosystem. It is completely locked down. And if Apple doesn't think you should use it, you are not going to use it. But I want to make that decision myself.
All right. Last piece of tech news. Department of Justice in the U.S. asked Facebook to halt end-to-end encryption plans.
Oh, my goodness. This.
And this is because, you know, the DOJ released a copy of the letter and officially announced that the U.S. and U.K. cross-border data agreement. So it's because they're operating in lockstep with the U.K.,
it is absolutely disgusting, this. Mm-hmm. This is basically the U.S. government saying we don't care shit about our citizens' privacy. We are going to read every single thing you want to write.
And just like the China story, the corporation will bend to China. They will also bend to the U.S. in this. And the U.K.
Yeah, it makes me grossed out that I live in a country that does this way. I mean, it has from the start. I take precautions to protect my privacy, but I'm pretty tech savvy and know how to do this, and most people don't. And thinking about how the government treats this data is shocking.
And, you know, one domino falls after this. The Five Eyes, of course, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand will be the ones to follow after that, because that is the largest intelligence sharing operation in the world, the Five Eyes, US, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And when, you know, these two fall, the rest of us are probably going to be forced to get into line on this too.
Yeah, well.
And...
can we say we're in a police state yet?
If you live in the UK.
We're pretty damn close here, man. Just because you got guns don't mean you ain't gonna live in a police state.
Don't you guys in the UK track all internet requests and have to store them for 60 days?
No, it's worse than that. ISPs are required to store all your DNS queries for 6 months. and these need to be given up to law agencies.
What if you use DNS over HTTPS?
Yeah, I honestly don't know how that works, but I about 2 years ago I bought a subscription on a VPN, and to me it is basically on by default. The only exception is if I run into lag issues during gaming, I'll turn it off. But you know, I don't have anything to hide, but I don't need people snooping.
Right, and I mean,
me playing RuneScape every day, for example, that none of their business. And you might think, oh, but if you have nothing to hide, they will never just get your data. It's just a precaution. But that's bullshit.
It's about the data aggregate.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's about the data aggregate of what you can build on people.
And second of all, you know, if you see how far sweeping the actual requests and for information are, they are seeing way more than they should. They are seeing and looking at way more data than necessary to satisfy the safety of this country. Like, I do understand that there is a trade-off between security, like physical security, and privacy. That being said, you know, they don't need to look into my data to the extent that they do to make sure that, you know, I'm not some terrorist trying to blow up one of the tube stations here.
Just make sure that what happens when they make VPNs illegal.
Well, but it's complete and utter bullshit, especially in the U.S. because they cannot give me some kind of security bullshit line. They don't care about security. If they care, they want to know everything you're doing on the internet, but yet you don't have to register a goddamn gun. You can walk out with an AK-47, shoot up any goddamn place you please, and that's totally fine. But they want to know what I'm looking at on Pornhub? I mean, not that I've ever looked at that site, but I'm just saying. It's bullshit. It's completely
it is really, like, it's so skewed in the weird directions. And
you can tell that the old intelligence agencies, you know, haven't reformed, and they still got the hawkish folks there who have always been running them.
And the thing is, right, you always get this story that this is for national security and all that shit. But then a terrorist attack happens. And what that is saying, yeah, this person was on our radar, we just never got around to really looking into it. There is already an overload of data at the intelligence agencies. They can't sieve through this. Why are we adding more data on that massive pool? Like, make them reform first, that they can at least use the data that they already have and that's publicly available. And if then they're missing out on things and can't do stuff, then we can talk.
But
the most effective, and this every time something happens, this is being said, the most effective is still your traditional detective work of sitting in a car with blinded windows, looking at someone and following them around through the city. That's still the most effective.
Yep.
So somebody is just not telling the entire truth of what they're doing with this data.
Yeah, and people also need to.
Well, they're looking at this through. It's all being sifted through a political filter on top of that.
Yes.
Because in America, our number one threat isn't some Middle East terrorist. Maybe it was in early 2000s. It's not now. Right now, it's right-wing terrorists that are shooting the shit out of people. But we're not looking into that. That's totally fine. Hell, we'd better not. Don't even call him a terrorist. You'll make someone cry if you do that. seriously, so it ends up becoming into this political game.
And that's what it all is.
Yeah.
That's what it all is. So, and, you know, I'm just going to say one more thing on this. Data aggregates and whatnot, fine. But we also need to remember that Facebook wants to unify messaging across WhatsApp, Instagram, and Facebook.
I'm not on Instagram.
So take it for what Facebook it's worth, and... everyone. Take it for what it's worth. We're going to end the show now. I realize this is a long, long show, and I'm terribly sorry about that.
But you're welcome, Tycho. You're welcome.
Yeah.
We did it for you.
Yeah. Our two Skill of the Month competitions for October are going to be Dungeoneering and Thieving. Don't shoot the messenger. This is just what the random number generator spit out. Dungeoneering and Thieving.
Dungeoneering would have worked like a month or two
Dungeoneering
ago,
starts on the 17th. Thieving starts on the 24th.
Ooh, I might do some thieving.
Typical one-week-long competitions. And if anybody has problems signing up, let me know. I know there's some complaints about that, but I haven't been able to track anything down. Okay. Achievements. So.
A lot of them.
A lot of them, indeed. And, you know, I'm going to simplify this, and I'm going to do the first batch of achievements, and then I'm going to really just split the rest down after that. So starting off on the 9th, we have Yitzi with 99 Fishing, Pouncing with 99 Hunter, Sipe Debu with 99 Slayer, XG Wen Y Var X with 99 Farming on the 7th, Lord Gimli with 99 Magic and Attack on the 7th, Delta with 99 Fishing on the 6th, and Truly a Weeb with 99 Fishing on October 5th. And then this next wall provided by the Clan Quest residents of Borosoro and Dianima. Borosoro got 99 Hunter, Cooking, Ranged, Firemaking, Thieving, Prayer, Dungeoneering, Strength, Construction, Summoning, Constitution, Crafting, Farming, Woodcutting, Smithing, Divination, Fletching, Mining, Herblore, Attack, Fishing, Invention, Slayer, Agility, Magic, and Defense, all on the 5th at Runefest.
Well, Bora wasn't at Runefest physically.
Okay, well, yeah. Close enough.
During Runefest.
During Runefest. During Runefest. Then, Dianima, who was at Runefest, got 99 Ranged, Strength, Dungeoneering, Mining, Attack, Prayer, Magic, Slayer, Divination, Smithing, Agility, Woodcutting, Runecrafting, Thieving, Invention, Defense, Crafting, Fletching, Summoning, Hunter, and Construction. I don't know if I've ever had two back-to-back maxings like that on the show.
It was my first real-life max party, I guess, that we had. We were all stood around one of the PCs in the land room while Dianima was getting these 99s. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. She got to max at Runefest. That's just cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice. And, of course, to everybody else who got achievements this week. Okay. So, pick of the week. Yeah. For anybody who's still with us here, this is a game... available on iOS and Android. It's called Lines the Game. It looks deceptively simple on top, but oh boy, does it get more complicated as you progress through it. And the whole idea behind this is that you are trying to put down a couple of dots of color on the screen, and you want to try and create the longest series of lines that you can and set the high scores in place. And if you manage to beat the computer, I guess what you could call predetermined algorithm on this, you win the stage and get to progress through the next level. And what's more is that it gets more complicated at each level that you go, adding in more and different colors along the way. And if you don't get there first, you don't win. So you're effectively trying to find the best spot to put your piece of color down in order to race the two other colored dots. And there's someone here who can actually explain this in much greater detail than I can right now and explain how this works. Well, maybe you can't explain how it works right now, but you could have explained how it worked at some point.
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, the game looks deceptively simple. When you play it, I think a lot of what you do, you play it on gut feeling a lot,
yes,
right?
A lot of intuition. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So while that works really well, my master thesis was actually on trying to solve this programmatically. So given one of these shapes, given like the points that are already there, place your points, basically. That is deceptively difficult. The algorithm is fairly complex, especially because different points interact with each other. Like if you, you are not necessarily trying to get the largest area, period. You're trying to get an area that's larger than all the other colors, which makes it complicated. If you have two points to place and you place them really close to each other, that's not really a good strategy because
they're going to intercept and not progress.
They will intercept, and at that point, you lose sort of the progress.
Yeah.
So there is actually a lot of complexity and difficulty in here, and my master thesis was solving that. So I could probably tell you a lot on how to solve this programmatically. I haven't actually played the game that much myself, but it was a very it was a fun experience trying to come up with how to solve this mathematically.
Yeah, and you let me read that. It was a very long and well thought out argument behind it.
Yes, I mean, I have full algorithms, full mathematical proofs that my algorithms are correct and optimal, all that stuff. You know, I come from a very theoretical background, so the paper I wrote was very theoretical.
The abstract was enough for me.
The abstract was enough for you, yeah, like just a paragraph. I think the actual paper was, what, like 15 pages or something, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun writing it. I sort of miss doing it because I don't get to really do that in my day-to-day job, but yeah.
Lines the Game is also available, of course, on Android, and it's free with being ad-supported, too, so... link will be to that in the show notes. And I've been waiting to do this one as a pick of the week since like April, when you'd be on the show and you didn't have a pick so we could have this discussion on it. So very fun. All right. What have you been up to on RS? Let's start with you.
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been keeping up with my forum. I felt when they announced 120 farming super vindicated that I started doing the farm and kept up with it. And I'm like, okay, just gonna just keep going at it, slowly build up the farming XP. Trying to make progress on my custom, my private masterwork armor, which I'm completely building from scratch. It's such a great experience to do something without just buying it from the GE in RuneScape. It's surprisingly zen-like to just sit there, do my masterwork armor, and yeah, I'm sure it's going to feel fantastic when I actually finish it myself.
It does. What are you doing for the trimmed components?
I am buying those. Okay. That's the only thing I'm allowing myself. I'm not looking into doing that PVM myself. It's going to take too long, especially with my RNG. It's going to take me weeks. That's the thing I'll allow myself to just buy on a GE, but I'll get the Torfa set and whatever it is, the Malevolent set, turn into trims. But other than that, it's all the Iron Man way.
All right. And I imagine we'll be able to do some of that with archaeology too when that comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I need to find a way to get ready for that because I'm not sure if I can just sit around and wait for that long.
Alrighty, how about you, Tanis?
I've just been working the farm and smithing some Elder Rune plate bodies.
What are those for?
Double XP weekend. Ooh. Everything I do is for double XP weekend.
Interesting.
I'm trying to turn them into fours. Or is it fours or fives? I can't remember which, but the step before burial, because on DXP, I'll do burial.
You know, you could do fives for that, but I think fours are better for people because if they want to just, you know, invest a tiny bit more time, they can take those fours to a five and then do the burial on top of that for max XP.
I mean, I've been making them from I mean, I mine the ore and all that stuff. So
Holy, okay, wow.
Yeah.
That is a monumental feat.
That it ought to pay off in the end.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, hey, you either got money or time, and I damn sure ain't got no money, so yeah. Here we are.
All right. As for me this week, I have been, of course, getting ready for 120 farming to officially come into game. And, you know, what I put into this basket is, you know, a renewed focus on herb farming, a renewed focus on getting ultra compost. And, you know, after the bank cleanup last week that I did, I wound up in a situation where I was two elf crystal pieces away from completing the Saren symbol, so I did that. And that kicked me off on a thieving run, and I've been thieving to complete the camouflage outfit now for some reason. I don't know why, but that's what I've been doing, prif thieving for that. So
nice.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything else that I need to say RS wise. Sirion, you good?
All good.
Are you sure? I got a couple more hours before
I go to bed. I know this is perhaps the longest. Show ever. Perhaps we should have not done the RuneFest stuff.
But. The longest non-quest show.
Yeah. I mean, if I stretch this for another couple minutes, we'll probably break the record we set with the needle skips.
Holy shit.
Let's see, November 2018. Yeah, if I stretch this for another 3 minutes, we'll that's the wrong one. The needle skips.
Please let me out. Yeah, let me out.
Oh, it's okay.
I want to be infamous.
we broke the record 30 seconds ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
all right. Cool. See ya.
We'll be back next week, everybody, for another episode of RSPNB Update. And, of course, in the meantime, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can visit update.rspnb.com/subscribe and click on any of the buttons there. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, practically anything under the sun. You name it. All there. update.rspnb.com/subscribe. See you next week for another episode of RSPNB Update.
Bye-bye.
See ya.